broadcast is a production of the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Football preview heard prior to Washington and Jefferson College football here on WJPA this afternoon. WJ at home against Geneva. I'm Mark Uriah, and we will talk to President's Head Football Coach Mike Sirianni. Mike, let's talk about the win at Westminster last week. Just in general, a nice bounce back effort against a good football team.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy with the win, don't get me wrong. I mean, we obviously... we'll probably talk about this later, but we made some mistakes to let them not back in the game, but to really lose momentum. But we were able to, if you would have asked me before the game, you're going to win, or guarantee you're going to win. Would you rather win the way we did, or would you rather win 40 whatever that we beat in last year? I would have said the way we did, but you had to promise me we were going to win before first, because our kids were able to battle back. They tied the score at 14. We weren't playing very good. We were out of rhythm in the third quarter, but we were able to put a drive together to score, really, and then a long drive together to take a lot of the clock off in the fourth quarter, and had a chance to score, missed a short field goal. But I thought we responded, we played well in that fourth quarter, and I was happy to get out of there with the win. And it challenged our guys a little bit too, which is what we needed after last week.
Yeah, you touched on a couple of things that I had planned to ask, but I'm going to go back to something that you said prior to the game last week. That defensively, Westminster oftentimes shows you things that you have not seen before. Was that the case?
They always show you different looks and walking people up and bringing people off the corner and doing some different things. So yeah, they did. You know, obviously their staple stuff is still the same. I thought that Jake didn't play his best game, I think, and maybe not even to the eye of a fan watching the game. I there were some times where he, as I had told the people after the game, the reporters from Westminster, we're an RPO, RPR team, whatever you want to call us, and sometimes you have to hand the ball off, and he didn't, and he kept it, and it got us into some troubles, and if he would have handed the ball off, we would have got some big plays, and if you noticed late in the game, he handed the ball off. And we got some big runs. So we just got to understand that, yes, I know we want to get him on the perimeter. We know he's our best player. He's electric, but it's a whole coach's thing. Take what the defense gives you, and they were giving us handing the ball off.
In a game like that, especially after losing the week before, I'm sure you kind of, maybe it goes unspoken, but you kind of look to your leaders to step up, whether it be bringing guys along in practice in preparation or actually out on the field. Justin Johns did that for you in a big way last
year. Yeah, Justin was outstanding. I mean, a fifth-year senior who has the world by, he can do whatever he wants. He had a job already lined up, and he just came back because he loves to play football. And to see him have a bounce back, and he didn't play bad at Carnegie Mellon, but him to bounce back from that loss and his fifth year coming back, it was pretty special to see, and he's a real special young man.
Now back to a couple of things that you touched on. Westminster answers with a tying score, and you come right back and score again. I mean, there are, as I always say, people always want to say, well, this play decided the game or this or that. It's never one thing. It's always a combination of things. But that's a big turning point, let's put it, in the game right there. Oh. Obviously, all of a sudden you're tied, and you got to do something. And the answer right away had to feel good.
Yeah, it was a huge turning point. We converted some third downs. I think right up the first play of the fourth quarter was a third and five that we converted, and we were able. That was a nice little break there because we were able to talk and ask Jake what did he like. We gave him two choices. He picked the one, and able to convert and then make some big runs to get down there and able to get in the end zone.
The other thing that you sort of mentioned after the missed field goal, the next time you got the ball, or I should say, on that missed field goal drive, you still took 7 minutes off the clock, and you certainly limit what, in this case, Westminster or any opposing team can do when you leave them with less time to work with.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was huge. I mean, we knew, their scores came off of a block punt, which hugely changed momentum in the first half. If we don't get that punt, and football's a game of momentum, and a short field on on really, you know, on an interception that wasn't the quarterback's fault. It was more the receiver's fault. I know people are going to be like, oh, the quarterback threw. It wasn't the quarterback's fault. The receiver came out of his route. But, you know, they had not drive the field. Yeah, their touchdowns were special teams. And so we were like, okay, if we could take some time off the clock, make them drive the field. I mean, yes, we wanted to make that field goal to put the game away. We weren't able to, but we still felt that they hadn't drive the field on us yet. We still felt we were in a pretty good position to win the game.
Yeah, stat that stood out to me, after you took the 21-14 lead, you only gave them two. They only had two first downs.
Yeah, I mean, I think they only had the ball twice. To be honest with you, I think they went. If I remember rightly, they went. They got a first down and then had the punt right away, and then they got one that the second to last drive. And so they only had the ball twice, which is huge to keep possession. You know, we're known as a no huddle type team, but we're able to take the air out of the ball when we need to. And I was proud of our guys for that drive.
A couple of guys, relative newcomers, have been really playing well for you on defense. Just talk about Brock Sherman and Carson Laconi.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Carson, you know, played last year, and he was on and off in terms of his play. You know, there was times he was very inconsistent, and times he played well, and I thought he's played very well this year for the most part through five games. And you know, Brock was a very highly regarded recruit of ours from Ohio, Walsh Jesuit, a powerhouse school in Ohio, and we were able to get him, and we kind of knew, you know, that he was going to be able to play right away with us, knowing the type of competition he played in high school, and look at his numbers when he tested him when he came in. So, and you know, he's been getting better every week, and he's going to be a tremendous football player for us the next 4 years.
We're with Mike Sirianni on President's Football Preview when we come right back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
This is Coach Guy Monicalvo for the Washington Greene County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional, the Wash Greene Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
Back with Washington and Jefferson College head football coach Mike Sirianni as W&J gets ready to host Geneva this afternoon. Mike, let's talk about Geneva. They're 2-3. Victories over Teal and St. Vincent, but they've played the top teams in the conference otherwise, Grove City, Carnegie Mellon, and Case Western. So, you know, it's we talk about this all the time, how they are hard to deal with because of what they run, and it's not something you see all the time. They look a little bit young as well.
Yeah, I mean, but to get our players' attention, all you got to do is turn that Carnegie Mellon game on. It's 14-7 in the fourth quarter. They're in that game, and they were able to limit Carnegie Mellon's touches, and that's a concern. That's how, you know, obviously that's what Westminster did. Westminster only punted three times. They kept the ball away from us. They ran the clock down the one, and if you limit our possessions, that's going to frustrate us, and hopefully we don't panic and call bad plays, but it's going to make, you know, when we do have the ball, we're going to have a sense of urgency. So obviously that the way that they play and the fact that they can take the air out of the ball, I think they had a 19-play, 10-minute drive against Carnegie Mellon. That's concerning. I mean, that's a recipe to stop us, and we got to make sure that doesn't happen.
And the other thing about it is, you know, you could get lulled to sleep with that option attack, and we've seen them do it occasionally in the past. If you get too caught up in defending the run, they can hit you over the top.
Yeah, and they have a new quarterback who we both recruited, and he's a transfer. We know he can throw because I remember watching him on tape, and you know he brings another weapon to their triple option. So you got to be careful that you don't give up a big play. You don't want him to drive the ball 19 plays for 93 yards. I mean, that's so frustrating as an offensive coach. But then again, on the flip side, you don't want to give up a 90-yard touchdown. You want to make him earn it too. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. So hopefully our defense can get some three and outs early. We can get a lead and force them out of doing what they want to do.
And I suspect some of this, in terms of the numbers that I'm going to throw out, is going to be because of the three of the top teams that they have played. But When I look at average per play, average per rush, those numbers are down from what we are used to seeing from them.
Yeah, I mean, Carnegie Mellon and Case are two. And I mean, you know, you played three of the best defenses in the league. Probably stat-wise, I haven't looked at the conference stats, but I'm assuming they're at least three of the top four, three of the top five. And that's probably in those all, they were all in the top 10 last year in the country at one point. So those are some really, really good defenses with good defenses fronts, and they're going to present them problems. So that's definitely part of it. And their quarterback did not play the first 2 weeks. You know, he was injured. So he's back, he's playing good. And, you know, I thought they really controlled the St. Vincent game. You know, they really controlled the total yards and time of possession. So score was close, but the game wasn't in terms of how it was played on the field.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Mike Sirianni, head football coach at Washington and Jefferson College. You're listening to President's Football Preview. Kenny Cranston, linebackers coach and special teams coach, will join me when we come right back.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game...
Brian Rack here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me this week as the Giants host the Bengals. Cincinnati has had their share of close games so far this season, including last week's heartbreaking overtime loss to the Ravens. Can they get back in the win column against the Giants, who are coming off an impressive win against the Seahawks? Join us to find out on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Back on President's Football Preview, WJ getting ready to host Geneva this afternoon. We're going to talk to linebackers and special teams coach Kenny Cranston. Kenny, let's talk just a little bit about defense. Let's talk overall, first and foremost. Good to bounce back with a win against a good football team last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of respect for Westminster. We know that they're always ready to play against us, and it's tough coming off a loss and having to go up there to Westminster and play them. But I think that we rallied well and showed that we're able to continue to fight back this season.
Well, and I guess maybe in some ways it's good that you played Westminster, because there has certainly been a rivalry that has developed between the two teams in the last, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years, let's say. So probably not too difficult to get the guys up and ready to play against a good quality opponent, as opposed to someone who maybe on paper, you know, you think you would defeat handily.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good situation for us, just to be able to be like, all right, things didn't necessarily go our way against CMU, but to be able to be like, okay, we know what we're playing for, we know what they're going to be playing for, fairly easy to get the guys ready for that.
And, you know, you look to your leaders in situations like that, and I know Justin Johns, at least my impression is, and from talking to some of the coaches over the years, he's kind of a quiet guy, but he leads by example, and he set one heck of an example last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin is the definition of lead by his play on the field, and steps up and makes a lot of plays and really brings a lot of the guys with him with his play style.
We have to talk about special teams. You know, the last few weeks there has been some good, but clearly some not so good as well. So, you know, those are the things that, you know, are first and foremost on your list in terms of getting corrected.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the mistakes are unacceptable, honestly, obviously. Just trying to continue to get better. I mean, it's the little things. It really hurt us two Saturdays ago. And then again, a big one against Westminster. So clean up those mistakes and emphasizing the need to be perfect in all aspects of special teams going forward.
Let's talk about Geneva. You know, we talk about this year in and year out. Of course, Gino DeMarco is still there, so they're still running that option offense, which is unlike anything that you normally see anywhere else. So it's a unique week of preparation.
Yeah, very unique. I think it helps a little bit just because it kind of keeps the guys engaged. It's something new they haven't seen in a year since we played in the bowl game last year, the last time we saw the triple. So kind of getting able to prepare for that, just really making sure that everybody stays responsible and knows who they're responsible for.
How much does that change, really, not just for linebackers, but for everybody on defense? I mean, because it is different.
Yeah, it changes a decent amount. The bigger thing is, and instead of running as much scheme, it's more so making sure that each position or each player at whatever we call in knows who they're responsible for. Instead of a coverage, it's about playing the dive or playing the quarterback, playing the pitch, making sure that everybody's accounted for in that situation.
And just by looking at stats, which, as I always say, they never tell you the whole story. Someone like you who has watched film can go a little bit deeper behind the numbers. But from what the numbers say, they're not getting the rushing yards out of the quarterback in this option attack that they normally get. The fullback seems to be getting that, who's always usually the key guy in an option type of offense. But just talk about maybe how that offense is this year compared to years past.
A little bit different. I mean, it feels like they're showing us a couple different formations than they have before, different runs. I think that they're really young, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, a lot of sophomores and juniors and even freshmen starting on the offensive side. So I think that they're trying to stay more balanced. And, again, the more often the quarterback has the ball in his hands and is getting ready to pitch it, statistically is more likely for fumbles. And I think they're just trying to reduce that, maintain possession, and just kind of get the 3-4 yards at a time that they're used to doing.
And there's a little bit of a balancing act there too. This is probably more for the guys on the back end, but you know, they can lull you to sleep with that and then try to, and sometimes are able to hit something big downfield.
Yeah, absolutely. And the receivers are always pretty good. They always at least have one receiver that is, in my opinion, one of the top receivers in the pack year in, year out. They have somebody that's really good talent or really fast. And that's just been the emphasis this week with our DBs, is we got to stay responsible for who we're responsible for. And you play the run late and you expect to pass on every play.
Now, I have to ask this, in years past, former defensive coordinator Vince Lavara talked about he would often run the scout team offense to try to give the defense as good a look as possible, because that is so hard to simulate in practice. Who's running the scout team offense this year, and is it one of the coaches, or are you using one of the other guys?
No, we have one of our guys doing it. We got some athletic freshman quarterbacks in there, and some that have played in some more run style stuff, but just to be able to keep them moving, you know what I mean? We're getting a little bit older ourselves, so be able to keep them young and moving and just staying efficient.
All right, Kenny. Thanks a lot for being with us. We appreciate it. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Kenny Cranston, the President's Linebackers and Special Teams Coach, W&J, hosting Geneva this afternoon at Cameron Stadium. And we'll have one more segment here on President's Football Preview when we come right back.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Segment of President's Football Preview, we are going to talk to President's Senator Grant Cullen. Grant, a little surprising, I don't think we've had you on the show despite the fact that you are a senior.
No, we haven't. And yeah, it's interesting, the first time ever coming here, so yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Let's just talk about the season in general. Clearly a disappointing loss to Carnegie Mellon, but able to bounce back last week and get a nice win against a good football team in Westminster.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you hate to lose like that, you know, in an overtime loss. You really put everything you have out on the field, you feel like. And you really hate to lose a game like that. You really hate to have a loser in that game. The fact that both teams, you really feel like they put all their effort out on the field. But I think I was proud of the team, the way we bounced back. I guess Westminster, they're a good team. We played them to the very end. And yeah, I really am happy with our team's performance.
Now, you told me something here before we went on the air that I'm sure everyone will find interesting. You grew up not far from Carnegie Mellon, and you have a connection there.
Yeah, my dad, he went to the Carnegie Mellon. He went to Carnegie Mellon. He was an architect. It was the number two architecture school in the country. He went there, and I grew up going to all the Carnegie Mellon football games because it was so close to my house. And on a Saturday, my dad and I stopped in. And at the time, I was rooting for Carnegie Mellon. So, yeah, it was interesting just being able to play against them now, the team that I grew up rooting for.
And I'm sure that was interesting when you decided to come here to play, to realize that they were going to be as big a rival to you probably as anybody in the conference.
Right. Right. It was truly a surreal experience my freshman year whenever I wasn't playing, but we got to, you know, play in Pittsburgh at that field, and you know, I grew up watching the field and I was playing on it, so it was a very surreal experience.
Just talking about how things are going, you know, and I mentioned this last week, even in the loss, I thought the play of the O-line against Carnegie Mellon was much better than what we have seen when you guys have gone against some of the top teams. I mean, you were able to run the ball, you were able to pass protect, which, you know, against CMU in previous years and maybe some of the other, you know, top teams, that had been a little bit of a struggle, but you guys appear to be playing some pretty good football.
Yeah, you know, CMU, they're always one of the top defenses in the pack, and we really knew we had a challenge going up against them. But I'm extremely proud of the way our guys battled. We have a lot of talented guys in there, and we have a very skilled back behind us, Owen Patricic, making some great cuts and making some great plays for us. But yeah, I'm just very proud of my brothers on the offensive line and proud of the way we battled in that game, even though it turned out to be a loss.
Let's talk about Westminster. You know, we spent a lot of time, meaning me in particular, in when talking to the coaches and, about what they do offensively because it's unique. But we don't spend much time talking about Geneva's defense, which I'm sure you have been studying all week. Give us an overview of what they do defensively.
Right. Geneva's defense, you know, they have some tough guys in there. They're not going to go down easy. They run a basic, you know, They switch it up. They go from even fronts to odd fronts. They occasionally play in a stack with three defense linemen and three linebackers. So we really have no idea what they're going to throw at us, but we have a good idea of how to attack everything that is potentially going to be thrown at us.
One of the things that what Geneva does offensively can affect you guys offensively, mm-hmm. Coach Sirianni talked about it. If they are being successful, meaning Geneva, they potentially can hold the ball for a long time, long drives where you're waiting on the sideline, waiting to get back out there. How difficult is it to not get frustrated or not, I don't want to use the word panic, but you know, think that when you get out there, we're not going to have as many possessions, so we got to make the most out of the ones we do have.
Right. That's always a problem you have with Geneva. They run the ball very well. They take a lot of clock down. You know, My offense line and I, we don't like sitting on the sideline. We like getting out there. We don't like waiting a very long time. But it's just something where you just got to be ready. You got to stay loose. And they're going to be out there for – they're going to be chewing up clock. Just stay ready. Whenever we get in there, we're going to score every possession. So that's our plan.
Okay, you're right in the thick of things as the center. Talk about what goes on pre-snap. When you come up to the line, when you get over the ball, there's a lot going on. Just tell us, for those of us who don't know, the type of things that goes on between the time you get over the ball and the time the ball is set.
Yeah, so first of all, you know, I'm calling out whether it's an even or odd front. If it's an odd front, then there's a nose head up over me. And if it's an even front, then I have a guy on either side of me. That's really important with our combinations and our double teams. And then I'll usually call out a linebacker that will be, you know, where it's based on the play, but it's basically important in our combo blocks and our double teams. And it's just letting know in pass protection, it also helps us with who's blitzing, where, you know, where we want to go. You know, a lot of the calling out is just we're trying to get a body on a body. That's what we're trying to do, and that's the most important thing. The next thing is just being technically sound and not getting beat. So,
and the other part about offensive line play, I think a lot of people realize it's different than most, if not other, positions because you know it's five, maybe sometimes six guys trying to work cohesively as a unit. Again, that's something I think a lot of people don't realize, and it's something that takes time to develop. Even when you have an experienced group, it just seems that as the season goes along, you develop that cohesiveness.
Oh, yeah. We always say five is one, and that's five people working as one cohesive unit. If one person doesn't do their job, then the other four are also, you know, technically not doing their job. So it's this amazing brotherhood also that we have between our five offensive linemen. You know, we are, you know, cohesive as a unit. We perform as one, and we try to maintain that unity. And I really love my brothers on the offensive line.
Okay, last question. You are a senior.
That's right.
No 50th for you.
No.
So where is your major? Where do you see yourself after you leave school?
So I will be applying to law schools. I am in the process of applying to law schools. I've applied to Duquesne and Pitt, and that's the plan. My majors were political science and philosophy, so I was just sort of using those. And, yeah, I took my test, just getting these applications in and seeing how much scholarship money I can get from law schools in the future.
All right, terrific, Grant. Thanks for being able to one up to you not only today, but throughout the season and well into the future.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Grant Cullen, the President's Center. That will do it for President's Football Preview today.
Matt.
Getting close to kickoff, W&J in Geneva. We're back on WJPA right after this.
My Dream Field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join me and three-time Super Bowl champion Devin McCourty for AFC East action this week when the New York Jets take on the Buffalo Bills. It's a great match of marquee quarterbacks as Aaron Rodgers battles Josh Allen. Don't miss it. It's on Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Good afternoon and welcome to Cameron Stadium in Washington. Great to have all of you along here this afternoon. I'm Bob Gregg. Thanks to Mark Uriah, host of President's Football Preview. John Sacco here beside me. John, great to have you here today. Important ball game and a bunch of things. And Mark has talked with the coaches and Grant Cullen, starting center, about a number of those. But you know, Geneva's always a tough team to play because they're going to possess the football and your opportunities are going to be limited.
Well, your opportunities are going to be limited if you don't play good sound defense. You got to stop the run. You have to stop the run because that's what they're going to do. As you say, in big game, yeah, they're all big now because there's no margin for error. It can still be done. Run the table, probably go to the playoffs. And now we're starting to get some important PAC games because today Grove City will play CMU. So WJ's job is just to win out. That's as simple as I can go. And today the job is defensively stop first down. Limit them on first down. And on WJ's case, they got to produce on first down.
And a rainstorm breaks out here at Cameron Stadium right out of nowhere.
It did kind of come out of nowhere. I think another key today, and my son has tempered my. We got to get Peduzzi back on the over the top a little bit. The last 2 weeks, we haven't seen him over the top. Now he did have 120 some yards a couple weeks ago against CMU, but we need to get that aspect of our game back, especially heading for this game and for heading into next week against Grove City.
Interesting note from Coach Mike in the opening segment, talking about last week and actually referenced that this has happened a couple of times before, and that is with the President's RPO offense, they got to get through to Jake Pugh, that sometimes you have to hand the ball off. It can't always be about Jake getting onto the perimeter.
No, and it doesn't have to be because we've proven now in the last half of last season and now through this season, WJ has capable running backs. And I thought a lot about the rotation system, which essentially the last couple of weeks has been Kobe, DeRosa, and Patricic. Patricic is really tough in the second half of the games.
Kickoff. President's kicking the ball away. Jeremiah Richardson will watch it go over his head and sail into the end zone. And Geneva will start first and 10 at their own 25-yard line. Where did that rain come from, by the way?
I don't know, but it went away just as fast.
It's like a day and a half early. Of course, as they say in Western Pennsylvania, just like Major League Baseball hitters, if you hit 3 out of 10, you're going to the Hall of Fame.
That's true.
Weather forecasters in Western PA seem to be of that same ilk. Golden Tornadoes will start senior Darren Myers at quarterback a very young team. Meyer sticks it into the fullback, pulls it back out, keeps it, gets out back to the line of scrimmage only, and the rugby scrum will stop with a gain of a yard. Oh, excuse me, out across the 30-yard line. Thank you. It's going to be a gain of six, actually, for Myers. Myers listed as the backup, but Caleb Romano dealing with the flu all week. Myers has only thrown 17 passes. Of course, Romano has only thrown 18 this year. They're not going to put the ball up very much, but oftentimes when Geneva throws the ball, it is dangerous. Toss to the right side, out around the bend, and a carry for a first down before hand to the boundary. The carrier by carry by Landon Smith.
This is what this kind of an offense does, especially can happen in the first series. You haven't seen it. You can't emulate it in practice. You just got to withstand early and try to stand tall. And they're milking the clock right now. This is just the way it's going to be.
First and 10 from the 42. Quarterback keeper and hit right at the point of attack. Good pursuit right away. And the stop made.
Harris. Nathaniel Cadis Harris, who's having a really good season, made that play.
And up into a starting role today. 1 yard gain for Myers. And quarterback and fullback are going to get the bulk of carries in this offense. Fullback right now, David Reed, their leading rusher with 285 on the ground. Pitch. Ball bobbled, knocked loose, scrambled for the loose pigskin, and somehow it hops right back up to Ben Pitta, and he's tackled at the line of scrimmage.
That was played much better. Zakai Simmons was up in there. WJ that time had 11 guys within about 8 yards of the ball. Linebackers are moved up. Corners are moved up. This is exactly what you saw in the bowl game last year against the Merchant Marine.
A lot of youth on this Geneva team, with the exception of their wide receiver core. Three of the four guys on the two deep are seniors. Everything else is really pretty young. Fake the toss. Myers rolls and will throw. Crossing pattern. Ball caught. Cross midfield and tackled inside the President's 45-yard line on the grab by Keaton Baker.
Nice play. Just a little arrow.
Myers' pass is complete. Number 9.
Well, this is certainly the pace that Geneva wants.
That would be good for a first down.
Catch for Baker, his 7th of the year. Darren Myers out of Merritt Island, Florida, had 142 passing yards coming into the game. Romano, listed as the starter, had only 156. So you do the math there. Less than 300 passing yards. Toss right. And some room, 40, 35, and down inside to 33-yard right. Toss play for a first down.
Nice toss play, got up into a seam, and goes, 11 yards.
Landon Smith on the run, and going to get 10 and a first down. Three first downs on the possession. And Smith, two carries, both for double-digit yards. 10:45 to play, opening quarter. Geneva with the game's opening possession. First and 10, left slot comes in motion. Myers handed it off to the fullback, powers ahead for about 5. And that is Reed. Reed gets 5 to the 28. Geneva stands at the line of scrimmage. It's not really like they're going to huddle up, but they're in no hurry. This is a no huddle, not a hurry up.
No, not at all. I mean, they've been down to 12, 11, 10, 9, that area every play. I mean, they've taken 5 minutes off the board already.
Second down and 5 at the President's 28. Myers up under center. Gives it to Reed again. He got off first contact and falls forward for just a yard. There was not really a full hole there for the fullback to get into. And he bounced off his own lineman and trying to go left, tripped up, goes down for a gain of 1.
No, Keaton Hall handled that gap really well. He was right in there and made the play. Then others joined.
Now 3rd and 4 at the President's 27, 9.5 minutes to play in the opening quarter.
I have to think they might be looking at option here.
Myers on the keep, gets the first down, stepped over a would-be tackle attempt in the backfield. Brandon Brown got air when he grabbed for a leg, and another third down conversion.
They're being successful right now in first down and third down. That's exactly what Geneva needs.
3 carries, 13 yards for senior quarterback Darren Myers. 1st and 10 at the President's 22-yard line. 6 minutes off the clock on this opening possession.
Bolamino is into the game.
2 for 2 on third down conversions. 1st and 10 from the 22. Myers gives it to Reed. And Reed is going to be snowed under, shy of the 20. Gain of just maybe nothing.
He got 1.
All right, I'm sorry. My notes here gave Myers 5 on the previous play. He only got, he got 5, not 6. So a gain of a yard for Reed here.
That was Dotson Dietz and Zach Valentine on a stop there. That brick wall.
Second down and 9. Single wide receivers each way. 2 slot backs there with the fullback behind. President's jump, get back. Myers on the keeper. He's hit at about the line of scrimmage. That's spun around and taken down at the 20 for a gain of a yard.
Good job by the defensive end. Valentine and then Dawson Dietz came to clean up.
7:40 remaining in the opening quarter. This possession started at the 25-yard line with 15 minutes on the clock. You do the math. They've chewed up half of the first quarter on this possession and still 20 yards to go.
That's their game.
3rd down and 8. The Golden Tornado at the WNJ 20-yard line. 2 stand-up wide receivers in tight. Myers on the option. Pitch back and room. Landon Smith gets the first down, pushed out of bounds at the 10-yard line.
Had a really nice block out there on it. Perimeter. This is good. Nice drive by Geneva. Very nice drive.
Smith, another double-digit carry. 3 carries, 31 rushing yards. Each of them getting 10 or more. First and goal at the President's 10. The Dean of PAC football coaches, Gino DeMarco in his 32nd year. Myers fakes to the fullback, keeps himself, and picks up 5 yards in tight on first down.
Good game. This is the last thing WJ wanted to have to start the game.
Possession approaching 9 minutes in length. And at this point, 70 yards, upcoming play number 14. 1 pass in the possession. Myers up under center. Fakes to Reed, keeps it himself, is finally ridden down inside the 3-yard line. 3rd and goal coming up.
Justin Johns in on a tackle. Dawson Dietz.
And we'll put the ball down at the 3, so it's a gain of 2. 3rd down and goal.
I think this is going to be an option.
Pitt in the right wing, Smith in the left. Tight ends in tight now. End over on the right side. Toss to Smith, trying to go wide into the end zone. Touchdown, Geneva.
Landon Smith for the touchdown. yard run for a Geneva touchdown.
Second rushing touchdown of the year for Landon Smith, the sophomore out of Laurel High School. Geneva takes almost 10 minutes off the opening quarter clock. 9 minutes, 55 seconds, 75 yards, 15 plays.
Impressive drive for sure. WJ is going to have to figure a few things out. It's not totally surprising that that could happen.
Evan Baker, PAT attempt. And puts this one home. 5:05 to play. Opening quarter. Geneva 7. WJ nothing. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Rich Eisen here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long as we get you ready for primetime NFL action every Monday night. Along with Kevin Harlan, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner, and the entire Westwood One team, we'll take you inside the locker rooms and the stadiums for exclusive previews and all the play-by-play action. Every week on Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Tornado kickoff taken by Kobe DeRose at the 10, 20, 25. Bounce it outside the numbers, 30, 35. And trying to stay with a block, ended up getting shoved to the boundary. But a great return by Kobe DeRose of about a 27-yard run back.
Excellent return. Excellent return.
All right, take me in the huddle right now. Your WJ's offense, you just watched Geneva do what Geneva does. And you know your possessions are going to be limited today. How do you not press in this situation?
Well, number one, there's no time to panic. Okay, that's number one. Stick to your game plan right now. I don't think you need to start throwing the ball over the lot, but you take advantage of what you think you can take advantage of.
First and 10, DeRosa on a fake from Pugh, pass to the left side. Peduzzi on the deep slant, catch, first down.
That'll work.
There is a flag down at the line of scrimmage. And the president's offense is backing up. Lineman downfield, almost certainly. And it is going to be called on Adam Kazera. Big pass play called back on the ineligible man downfield. Ball back to the 31-yard line. It's first and 15. Pugh stands in a clean pocket. Deep ball into double coverage, and Peduzzi couldn't get to the football, overthrown by a step or so.
He was well covered.
You said get Peduzzi in the, over the top.
Yeah, but I don't think we have to panic just yet.
And the incomplete pass will bring up second and 15. Owen Patricic into the ball game, the president's leading rusher this season, the president's leading rusher last year.
Double tight end set, Ray Holmes and.
Movement all over the place. And tapping himself on the chest, his left tackle, Elijah Staub.
He wasn't the only one.
One of the things that Grant Cullen talked with Mark in the pregame, John, about the offense just standing around while Geneva's offense does what it does. And, you know, you get antsy and you want to get out there. And Staub got antsy clearly.
Well, I understand that, you know, what they do and what they did on that first drive kind of puts you to sleep a little bit, you know that. But that's their game. You can't get off course. Do what you practiced and prepared for all week.
DeRosa back in the backfield. Screen set up. Cuts back to his left for the blockers. DeRosa 40, 45, picks up the first down. It was second and 20, and DeRosa moves the sticks, weaving through on that screen.
Nice play call. Sucked them all up into rushing, and they had WJ had about four guys out to block one guy, and big game.
23-yard pickup and a first down. Pugh on the keeper's got a seam, 50, 45, 40, legs cut out, goes down at about the 35-yard line.
Again, really good call. Jake got up in there and it just took off. You got it.
Quick decision made there by Pugh.
He made a quick decision. And, you know, we talked about this at the game you guys did last night. Pace is a big thing.
Pass downfield. Paduzzi splits it, gets inside the 20 where he's tackled. Another first down.
This is such a contrast. Geneva wants to lull you to sleep. WJ's ready to go right now.
16-yard pass play. Pugh fakes to Patricic, finds McCosko, and McCosko into the end zone for the touchdown.
And Jake Pugh's okay. He got tied up. That was a beautiful play. Nice pass. McCosko took the right angle into the end zone and went untouched. That's the kind of pace WJ wants to play with.
With 3:07, Presidents takes less than 2 minutes. Extra point kick is good, and the game is tied. 3:07 to play in the first. WJ 7, Geneva 7. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
This is Coach Guy Monicalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
Liam Campbell set to kick off. The President's 64 yards in five plays. Kickoff coming toward the sideline, and Jeremiah Richardson's going to field it on the hop at the sideline. Gets to the 15, and he goes out of bounds. He wasn't sure, apparently, that that kick was going to bounce another time and go out. If he doesn't put his hands down and catch it, it may land out of bounds.
I don't think he should have touched it, but if you have any doubt, you do have to grab the ball. But I think it was going out. Early score, first quarter, Hampton-Sydney 7, Washington Lee 0.
Other action today, Allegheny at Teal, 1 o'clock kick. Carnegie Mellon at Grove City kicks at 2. 4:30, it's Westminster at Bethany and St. Vincent visiting Case Western Reserve tonight at 7. Golden Tornado, and now delay of game call.
Wow.
Delay will back it up to the 12-yard line.
That is one thing that's kind of offense. You do not want pre-snap penalties.
Darren Myers engineered that 15-play drive, carried six times on that possession. First and 10, Myers on the pitch to the right, going wide is Smith off first contact, forward to the 15, maybe the 16-yard line. Smith on the ground at the 16. Run good for 4, second down and 11. 38 yards on 5 runs so far for Smith. 2.5 minutes, all that remain in the opening quarter. Geneva 9:55, W&J 1:58. Both of those time of possession drives ending in touchdowns. Pass play is wide of Smith. He came in, the pass went toward the sideline. He got a hand on it but couldn't haul it in. Incomplete. and now 3rd and 11 for the Golden Tornado.
WJ with 11 guys and basically within a 10-yard space of the football. Now, this is an opportunity to really make a big play, or at least a play that's a minus here.
Two receivers wide to the near side. 3rd and 11, pressure coming. Myers gets rid of it, throw up the far sideline. Is caught and going to for a touchdown. Keaton Baker got behind the coverage and made the catch and takes it 84 yards. And Geneva, quick strike.
Wow. That's just it's what happens when you play people so close to the ball and you don't expect that. And they hit on a big one. They hit on a big one.
Well, and if you look at the yards per pass for Geneva, or yards per completion for Geneva, it's just staggering because of plays like that.
Sure.
They don't throw often. They don't complete more than about half of their passes. But when they do, there's nobody to help. Extra point.
No good.
Kick is inside that left upright. 2:08, Geneva drives of almost 10 and not quite 1 minute. In length.
That was stunning because W&J was set up really well on that defensive stand. And don't expect to see that happen.
Again, we have a vehicle parked illegally in a permit zone. This vehicle is a red Acura.
We'll keep it here for the kickoff.
Police plate 18776.
14-7 Geneva.
Police plate 18776.
Just think back to a week ago. Westminster scored 14 points in the entire game against W&J. Geneva's done it in the first 13 minutes.
And the way, the couple, well, that big pass right there, that's a bomb. The pass, very few that they've completed have been really factors. He had no safety help here. He just got beat, period.
Baker with both catches for 98 yards. The kickoff scoots by DeRozan into the end zone. W&J will take over at its own 25 on the touchback. Yeah. Darren Myers, 2 of 3 passing. And the incompletion was just poorly thrown. He had Smith open.
He did.
And just didn't throw the ball well. Did not appear like it was going to be a big gain, but if that pass is on target, it's a gain. And then the Golden Tornado come right back around with the deep ball, and Baker behind the coverage and took it to the house. Presidents start a possession for the second time today, and for the second time they're trailing. Fake to Volpatti, dumped all to Cernuto up over the 30, the 35, and lunges forward to about the 38-yard line, first down.
At a 14-yard gain, Cernuto was all alone. Just ran up the right sideline. WJ has to respond right now.
13-yard pickup and a first down. Pass play, and all alone is Peduzzi. Has to go up to make the catch, and now trying to run away from one last man, Peduzzi. Touchdown.
I ask this the first week when I did the game with Mark against St. Vincent. How do you lose John Peduzzi?
And you're still waiting for an answer.
There is none. There's no explanation for it. You can't lose him.
8th TD catch of the year for John Peduzzi. The length of possessions are decreasing. And all ending in touchdowns. The extra point kick up and good. W&J 14, Geneva 14. We have a minute 32 to play in the opening quarter. We'll keep it here for now while I work my math here. What is that? 28, 36 seconds. The one before was 59 seconds. So here's the time of possession on drives. Geneva 9:55, touchdown. W&J 1:58, touchdown. Geneva 59 seconds, touchdown. I'll show you W&J 36 seconds, touchdown.
Yeah, we're all sitting here thinking this is going to be a slow, probably low-scoring game. There's 28 points already put up in the first quarter.
Great to have you along. Jacob Knisner, our producer in our downtown Washington studios. Our thanks also to Green Sports Chief Jason Tennant for a little technical help here early in our broadcast. Certainly appreciate that. Liam Campbell to kick. Jeremiah Richardson back deep to receive. And Richardson going to catch this one in the air at his own four. Up the hash marks. Now between the numbers and the hash, out over the 20. He'll not get to the 25. In the mindset of these deep guys, they all think they can hit the home run. And if they put their hand up there and catch the ball, they get it at the 25.
Yep.
College and the pros, they all think they're going to hit the home run.
Well, that's a tempting thing for them sometimes.
Minute 25 to play in the ball in the opening quarter. 14-14. Geneva with a ball for the third time. They have not been stopped. Myers gives to Reed, trying to run right side. Got spun around. The ball came out, and the president's acting like they have it. And the officials just now blowing the whistle, and the presidents do have the football.
Yeah, they're conferring, though.
Question is it going to be ruled down? Or? And Geneva's offense is not leaving the field. Ruling on the field is a fumble recovered by the defense. You talked about the big loss or the penalty on the first play of the last series for Geneva, something their offense can't afford. Turnovers, another thing they can't afford.
No, that's definitely, especially turnovers inside their 30-yard line. I think Zakai Simmons may have recovered that. It looked like first hit went to Dawson Dietz or Keaton Hall.
Oh, Reed on the fumble. First and 10, running play. McCosco takes the handoff and comes around the bend. Or
Ray Holmes was
a little flip pass, I guess.
Yeah, it was a flip pass.
You know, when we were these kids' age, that was a running play, John. Right?
You're right.
Second down, running play right side. Pugh runs away from people inside the 10 and got popped right at the sideline.
Yeah, we also got another guy down. Cernuto, great block. Great block. That'll be good for President's
first
down.
It'll be first and goal from the 8-yard line. First and goal at the 8, 15-yard run for Pugh.
Ray Holmes took a big hit there. He got up gingerly, but he got up.
DeRosa in the backfield. Pugh looks to dump it off, and ball is dropped. Raymond Holmes has a touchdown.
Well, he could have walked
and it. He maybe knew it.
Oh, he knew it. And I think he got a little too excited about it. He took his eyes off the ball. That's a heck of a call right there.
Second down and goal at the 7. Yeah, president's got to get touchdowns in these situations. Pass to McCosco, overthrown toward the sideline, incomplete. I just want to back to my comment there. You know, how many times we've seen presidents get here in just the last couple of weeks, and they get nothing. A couple of blocked field goals against Carnegie Mellon. A missed short field goal a week ago.
Now, you have to be proficient with those kinds of details and those kinds of drive finishers.
Third and goal at the 7. Pugh, fade, McCosco reaches up over the defender and comes down with a football. Touchdown.
That's just a touch pass.
Third touchdown pass of the day, 21st of the year for Jake Pugh. For McCosko, his seventh TD reception of the season. Peduzzi has eight. And W&J in the lead. High snap. Mel handles it, tees it up, and Wyatt kicks it home. 9 seconds to play. A little slow down there work by the Presidents. Took a minute and 6 seconds to get that touchdown.
He wouldn't have if Ray Holmes would have held on to that ball.
Oh, it's fun to be up here in the booth, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Feels a little much better on the body on Sunday, too.
W&J 21, Geneva 14, with 9 seconds remaining in the opening quarter. Did not see a shootout.
No. No.
Did not see that coming.
That's why we play the games.
And
all right, we have some scores here around the country. Randolph-Macon, 14. Guilford, 0. Cortland, 7. Utica, 0. Hampton-Sydney still leads 7-0 over Washington Lee. Allegheny and Teal, 7-7. Second quarter. Thank you to my son, Jack.
He's a fine young man there. Kickoff will be returned. Smith to bring it up the numbers. Got off of a hit and a long way away flag comes flying in.
I think that's going to be a holding call. I tell you what, if there was a throw a flag contest for length, that's the winner.
That was umpire Ryan Murphy. He threw that flag about 35 yards and a big high rainbow shot with it too.
These are killer penalties for Geneva. They do not want this kind of stuff.
Now they're going to back up to their own 12-yard line and start this possession. First snap should end the opening quarter, barring it being lost on the ground and recovered quickly, which has already happened once. Darren Myers brings the team to the line. First and 10, Geneva from the 12. Smith goes in motion. Myers on the keeper. Met at the edge. Hit at the 15. Myers, Justin Johns, 40, the first guy Geneva. There. Three-yard carry brings the first quarter to an end. W&J 21, Geneva 14 after one. Back for the second quarter here on the WJPA Sports Network.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs. Sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Ryan Rack here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golick and me this week as the Giants host the Bengals. Cincinnati has had their share of close games so far this season, including last week's heartbreaking overtime loss to the Ravens. Can they get back in the win column against the Giants, who are coming off an impressive win against the Seahawks? Join us to find out on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Total offense through one quarter, really pretty tight. I have W&J with 178, Geneva 171. Presidents 32 yards rush, 146 up top on 7 of 10 passing for Jake Pugh. Geneva 73 on the ground, 98 through the air, including that 84-yard catch and run for a touchdown. Geneva second down and 7. Golden Tornado at its own 15-yard line. Myers on the pitch to the left side, and play strung out and only going to be a gain of a couple of yards.
Dawson Dietz made his way down the line. Tackle.
It's going to be Bryce Finley, the ball carrier.
Guy Simmons also on the hit. Just a note, Bob. John Peduzzi's now the fourth all-time on W&J's list of touchdown receptions with 34.
Finley's first carry of the day. and just his second of the year, picks up three. Ball's out to the 18-yard line. Finley goes in motion. Myers fake to the fullback Reed, and Myers is snowed under. Dawson Dietz.
Avery Keefe.
Avery Keefe on the tackle for loss.
Now, we've seen this more now, so you get a little bit more used to what you're looking at. Like I told you, and I'm not making excuses. I did this when I played. When you play one of these teams and you never see it, you cannot emulate it in practice. I'm sorry, you could work on it, but you're not going to understand it until you actually feel it.
Punt formation for Evan Baker. Averages 34.5, has had a punt block. WJ with a single receiver back, flag down at the line of scrimmage. A short punt, fair catch indicated by Rizzotti, but I think WJ was offside.
I think that's the call, but I don't know that. I guess they'll take it, but it's still not going to be good enough. Yeah, I think they were lined up offside.
Head linesman Sean Gooch talking to the WJ coaches, and other than disapproval with their own players, I don't see much of an argument heading toward the official.
No. Well, I guess they're gonna take it, punt again. Yep.
Well, as short as that punt was, thinking you got to count that your kicker's got a little more in there, maybe. Third penalty on the Presidents. Yeah. Gino DeMarco. Now fourth and one for Geneva, and the Presidents' front wall backs up a little bit. Snap through. Three guys give pressure. Big high punt and a little more carry, and the ball caught by Rizzotti back at his 45 instead of the Geneva 41-yard line. So that's the right call.
Made a difference, yep.
I've got 34 on the punt with the fair catch. Now that kick right at Baker's average. WJ now will snap the ball with the lead for the first time. 13-19 to play opening half. Presidents at their own 45-yard line. Now motion to Trips. Dumped the ball off to Volpatti. Tripped up from behind. Volpatti's going to get a yard on the play with blockers out in front, and he never got to him.
It's kind of a, I don't know. I didn't care for that play.
Pass on the slant into Peduzzi, into Geneva territory. Finally wrestled down at the 37-yard line. 17 yards and a first down.
Geneva's having a really hard time covering receivers right now.
First and 10, running play. And jammed up, very short gain. Going to be about a yard for Volpatti.
Volpatti carries for the Presidents.
Carries, 72 yards on the season for the junior out of Bethel Park. Second down and 9 at the Geneva 36. Pugh on the option, pass to the near side, too tall. Rizzotti was open. Boy, they put the corner on an island. They had Rizzotti and Peduzzi, and he chose inside for a moment, saw the ball coming, and Rizzotti couldn't make the catch, too high.
That's one play that Jake really doesn't throw well. He has a hard time completing it. I mean, he was alone. This is amazing. That one play in particular gives him fits.
Now third down and 9 at the Geneva 36. Showed a Volpatti, stays home. McCosco trying to fight back to the ball and pulls it away from the defender and down at the 4-yard line.
I'm telling you, that was some nifty, nifty footwork by McCosco because he was really close to being pushed or running out of bounds there.
32 yards on the pickup and a first down. Volpatti gets the handoff, stopped at the 2-yard line.
Volpatti carries for the presence.
That is just a dive play. I'm surprised the big boys aren't all in. Well, they are. They are.
Second down, Pugh dumps the ball off. Cernuto walks untouched to the end zone.
That's a nice drive.
2-yard touchdown pass. Fourth of the half. And we haven't played 5 minutes of this second quarter yet.
Well, WJ's pass offense is having its way with Geneva. Golden Tornadoes, just they don't have an answer.
Devin Wyatt to attempt the extra point. Snap, hold, good, kick, like under the first. WJ 28, Geneva 14, 11-12 to play in the second quarter. Back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Liam Campbell will kick off. W&J goes 55 yards in seven plays. Pugh to Cernuto for the touchdown. For Zach Cernuto, his fourth receiving touchdown of the year and his 15th catch of the season.
He's doing what he does best. Second quarter score. Teal 14, Allegheny 7.
W&J will finish the regular season at Allegheny. Already traveled to Teal this year. Kickoff, fair catch, I guess, called for by Jeremiah Richardson. That was
wasn't real forceful.
Not much of a fair catch indication, but
I think that looked like a little changeup on the kick, too.
The ball come out to the 25 where Geneva will take over there. Geneva, six first downs in the first half. The last one on the long touchdown pass. The last two possessions have gone without a first down. From the 25, Myers on the keep, ran out of a finger tackle in the backfield and picks up six.
Actually, that might have been good that he did run out of it because they might have been calling that a horse collar, even though it really wasn't, but it had a look of that it could be.
27 yards on 9 carries for Darren Myers. Second down and 4 from the 31. Wideouts both ways. Slot backs each direction. Myers changing up the play at the line of scrimmage on second and 4. Pitch near side. Two guys out in front taking on a blocker and the ball carrier. Gain of just a yard on that option pitch this time.
A great play by Keaton Hall. He was there, slid the runner up, had help from Sakai Simmons.
Landon Smith, whose first three carries went for 11, 10, and 10. His last three have gone for 3, 4, and 1. 39 yards on 6 carries. What was a 10-yard average on the day is down to 6.
Aiden Thomas is in on the W&J defensive line. This is a big play for W&J to really take hold of this game, make it stop here and try to score again.
Third down and 3 from the 32. Fullback Reed stood up shy of the 35. Oh, he's going to get a great spot from the head linesman, Sean Gooch, and it's going to be a first down.
Yeah, Phil Boebert, the defensive coordinator from WJ, not real happy with that spot.
game would be good enough for Geneva. First down at the 35.
Reed's fifth carry of the day, his first since fumbling the ball. Somebody got a grill going down below us.
Yes, they do.
The delicious smells are wafting up to the press level. First and 10 from the 35. Myers on the option pitch, put a foot in the ground, nowhere to go. Bryce Finley's going to lose 3 yards.
WJ is doing a much, much better job dealing with the option game now.
9 minutes.
I think that was Brandon Brown that made that play.
It was indeed. 9 minutes remaining in the opening half. WJ up 28-14. Second down and 13 for what we used to call, when I went to Geneva for a time, the Texters. Second and 13. Myers keeps and is snowed under. We'll get a yard on the play.
I tell you, this kid has impressed me every week. Nathaniel Kadish Harris, good football player.
Now, third and 12. Friends of mine here in the Washington area, Geneva alum. I am not. Just circumstances of life didn't lead me to finish my degree work there. Spent 2.5 years in College Hill. Myers wanted to set up to throw and just didn't have any time. He'll be sacked here for a loss back at the 27-yard line.
Sacked by Avery Keith. WJ has some things going now defensively. I'm going to repeat myself again. The more you get to see this in full motion, the easier it is to deal with.
Fourth down and 18, and punt formation again for Evan Baker. President's down guys, all make sure they're on side. They are. The kick just gets away. Fair catch called for. Rosati comes up and makes it at his 46-yard line, 37 on this punt. 7:04 to play. WJ to take over here. Second quarter leading 28-14.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
First and 10 for the President. So, and Patricic gets his first touch and just muscles his way for 5 yards crossing midfield.
That's what he does best, up inside. He usually takes hold of a game in the second half.
Second down and 5 at the Geneva 49. Trips left. Tight end set to the right. Patricic set on Pugh's right hip. Pugh has time to slant into Peduzzi. Made a nifty move. 35-yard line. Well, maybe not quite to the 35, but stumbles down there with a first down.
That was a nifty move.
13-yard pickup. 10th first down of the half for W&J.
WJ going trips again. That the last time, Cernuda just stayed in as a tight end on the opposite side.
And Geneva going to use a timeout. 5:53 to play, second quarter. Timeout for the Golden Tornado. We'll take a timeout as well.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join me and three-time Super Bowl champion Devin McCourty for AFC East action this week when the New York Jets take on the Buffalo Bills. It's a great match of marquee quarterbacks as Aaron Rodgers battles Josh Allen. Don't miss it. It's on Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
And, of course, we'll have the Steelers and the Raiders tomorrow. Airtime 2 o'clock. Kickoff set for 4:05 in the desert. W&J leading here 28-14, just under 6 minutes to play in our first half. Get a news update for you at the half. We'll also take a look at last night's area high school football scores. A number of dandy football games in the area, including Upper St. Clair getting a last-minute TD pass to beat Bethel Park and stay on top of the Allegheny Six Conference. First and 10, and now whistle on the president's sideline, and W&J is going to use a timeout.
That was kind of like an end of game or end of half, double timeouts there. Hey, I have some scores here. Mount Union 14, Wilmington 3, first quarter. Second quarter scores, Randy Macon 35, Guilford 0. Second quarter, Cortland 21, Utica 7. Hampton, Sydney, and Washington Lee tied 7-7, second quarter. Teal up on Allegheny 14-7, second quarter. And in the third inning, the Tigers and Guardians are scoreless.
Why are they playing that game this afternoon?
Weather changed it.
Okay.
Weather changed it to 1 o'clock.
That rain that came through here, maybe it's going to Detroit. Or Cleveland, rather. Now, after the timeouts option, Pugh pitches to Patricic and never a chance to really get going.
Not his kind of run either. I'm not real fond of that play, to be honest with you.
Loss of 3 on the run. And if Pugh doesn't pitch it, he loses 3. Play well defensed by Geneva.
It was.
Second and 13 now at the Geneva 39-yard line. Cernuto motions, running play. Patricic takes it right, ran out of a tackle. 35, 30, 25, and dragged down after he picks up a first down to the 22.
Really nice call. The motion by Cernuto created the space on the opposite side. That was a nice run. Nice, well blocked and well conceived.
5 minutes to play first half. Patricic checks out of the game. Kobe DeRosa in. A little hitch in the get-along there for Owen Patricic.
He's had some issues with the hamstring since summertime.
Trying to kick that out, stretch that out. Cernuto motions to the far sideline. DeRosa gets the handoff, and he finds a seam. Cuts outside of Cernuto block, gets inside the 5. It'll be first and goal.
He got up inside, and then once he got to the second level, made a nice move to the outside.
18-yard burst. Kobe DeRosa's first run of the game. And now first and goal at the 4. President's trailed 14-7, but now knocking at the door to go up 35-14. DeRosa gets the handoff, drives it to the goal line, touchdown.
Oh, wow. Two guys hurt for Geneva on the same play. DeRosa got up.
DeRosa, 4-yard touchdown run, his 5th rushing score of the year. And with 3:56 to play in the first half, W&J has opened up to 34-14. And just a note, Presidents are going to get the ball to start the second half as well. Devin Wyatt to kick out of the Jake Mell hold. Good snap, good hold, good kick. WJ 35, Geneva 14. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
54 yards, 6 plays, most of that on the ground, and Kobe DeRosa caps it with a 4-yard touchdown run. Presidents 5-for-5 this afternoon. 5 possessions, 5 touchdowns, and now have put up 28 straight points since Geneva last scored on that long pass play to Baker.
Yeah, the offense is looking good today. That's what you want going into next week's game. And certainly to overcome the early deficits here today.
Liam Campbell to kick. Landon Smith. Nope, check that. It's going to be James White. I'm sorry, Tyree Gordon will make a fair catch. That one a little more definitive.
Yeah, the last one, I'm not sure he still gave a fair catch.
Geneva will get the ball at the 25 after the fair catch on the kickoff. And the President's defense has really settled down from that early explosion by the Golden Tornadoes.
The big part of it is they're playing the option game much, much tougher. Geneva's getting big chunks early on, and now they're not getting really anything.
First and 10, Myers, straight drop, wants to put it up, hit, lost the football. It's caught, I believe, by a Geneva O lineman, but the ruling now, question is it a fumble? If it's a fumble, that play can happen. If it's a forward pass, that's illegal touching.
I think it was a fumble.
It'll be ruled a fumble and a loss of six.
He got mauled. I mean, he really got mauled right out of the gate, just about.
Back to back sack losses for Darren Myers, who was up to 28 yards rushing, but now he's down to 16. Second and 16, Myers drops and rolls to his left, trying to get to the edge, put a foot in the ground. He's going to be hit behind the line of scrimmage and lose Myers three more.
Justin Johns with the first hit, cleaned up by Keaton Hall. And now Dawson Dietz returns to the game.
And Geneva now realizing, and here in this situation, you know, trying to make some changes to what they do, because of the game situation, but you know, for so long, Geneva's just going to do what Geneva does, and that's been a staple of stability from Gino DeMarco. Third and 19 now. Golden Tornado back at their own 16-yard line. Presidents want to stop in the ball back, and Myers is sacked again. Three straight pass plays there, and none of them got anything positive.
Guess who? Dawson Dietz.
W&J timeout with 2:23 remaining in the half. Wanting to preserve clock here.
This would be big to get another score here. And maybe add a couple early in the second half and get these starters out of here.
Now, three. You can look at a lot of Geneva film and not find three design pass plays in a row on an opening of a possession.
No, especially inside your 20. They have no choice now.
President's defense has really forced that because they've made the adjustments necessary to this triple option game.
They've made the adjustments, and I'm not sure how much adjusting rather than just individual seeing and feeling more comfortable playing against it.
Third punt of the day expected from Evan Baker. Presidents almost got home on the last kick. Fourth and about 30. Check that, fourth and 25. The shortest kick of the day for Baker, fair catch made at the 42-yard line. So W&J will need 42 yards in the final 2:17 to try to add to this lead.
Or a field goal.
Yeah, and I'm not going to eschew the field goal because I think the Presidents would, in some regards, welcome an opportunity in a live game situation to line up and try another one.
For sure.
First and 10 at the 42. Pugh on the option. Finds Peduzzi settling in a soft spot. Flag down, an eligible man downfield. Peduzzi tackled at the 30-yard line, but flag came out as soon as the ball was thrown.
That's the call.
Second time, flag called. Line judge Brendan O'Brien with the call.
That's a very difficult thing to deal with for an offensive lineman.
First and 15, and now and we hit the two-minute timeout. WJ 35, Geneva 14, 2 minutes to play in the first half.
This is Coach Guy Monticalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional, the Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
My Dream Field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Outstanding second quarter for the Presidents. Minus 12 yards allowed.
Well, they can stiffen up. They did it last week when they had to. They certainly have adjusted here to what was the speed of the game. That's going to be different now, too.
First and 15 after the two-minute timeout. Volpatti takes a handoff, taps the feet, runs right side, 40. Jumps over a man, 35, and down at the 34-yard line.
That's a nice run by Volpatti.
Picks up 13, second down and two. Running play going straight ahead, and no fooling around this time. Just pounded up over the left tackle and moved the sticks.
First down. It's most effective. Just get up inside and roll.
4 yard run and a first down. Pugh hands to Volpatti. He runs around the right end. 25-20. Setting up a downfield block from McCosco and finally shoved to the boundary at around the 13-yard line.
He surveyed that. I didn't even know he had the ball initially. And then he made a right move. Did you think they were going to run the ball three straight times out of this?
I did not.
I wouldn't have bet that.
The first, the 16-yard run, then the, I'm sorry, yeah, the 13-yard run, now the 17-yard run, longest runs of the year for Troy Volpatti. Pugh on the keeper, fumbles the ball, and he makes sure it goes out of bounds, but it's going to be ruled down at the at about the 13-yard line, make it the 12 and a half, yeah, 13, okay. So no gain for Pugh, clock turning, 1 minute remaining. Pugh coughed the ball up, but able to get it back. And he was on a knee when he got it back in bounds. Pugh to pass, has two guys trying to dump it off. That pass almost picked off. Not a good series there, a couple of plays there for Jake Pugh. Nick Cirello on the coverage almost picked that off. Clock stops with the incompletion.
Dangerous. Very dangerous throw.
Zach Seaman going to check into the game. Cernuto coming out. Seaman with five catches, including a touchdown and 73 yards on the year. You won't read that on the stat sheet, though. Pugh steps up in a pocket. Deep post.
Oh,
Panuzzi catch. Touchdown.
What a great catch. Great throw, too. But my goodness. John Panuzzi, Wizard of Oz there, buddy.
13 yards and a touchdown. Five TD passes in the half. for Jake Pugh. Peduzzi's second TD grab. He's over 100 receiving yards. Devin Wyatt for the PAT. And this one right down Park Avenue. 41 seconds to play. Opening half, WJ 42, Geneva 14. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join me and three-time Super Bowl champion Devin McCourty for AFC East action this week when the New York Jets take on the Buffalo Bills. It's a great match of marquee quarterbacks as Aaron Rodgers battles Josh Allen. Don't miss it. It's on Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
We started the game with a random rain shower, and now brilliant sunshine here at Cameron Stadium. Liam Campbell will kick off. Presidents with six touchdowns on six offensive possessions.
Yeah, they've been red hot offensively today. Now a beautiful sun here. You're right.
Campbell on the run-up. Kickoff will be taken far side by Goodwin. Fair catch. Bring it out to the 25-yard line.
I can't imagine Geneva's going to do anything but run the football here.
I'm sure longtime Geneva fans did not expect what they got on the last possession.
No.
Geneva, first and 10 from the 25-yard line. Myers, the quarterback, keeps it. Avery Keith made sure that Reed didn't have it and got off of that and tackled Myers then. Gain of a yard.
Ran it in the middle of the line there as well.
No gain on the play.
Myers has 15 carries for a net of 8 rushing yards.
Tough day, man. And that's it. They're not going to run another play.
And both teams set to walk it to the locker room. Geneva sprinted out quickly. Touchdowns on their first two possessions. WJ, though, has answered with touchdowns on six straight first half possessions. And the Presidents will get the ball to start the second half. 42-14, the red and black leading here at intermission at Cameron Stadium. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network here in just a moment.
You deserve a bank that lifts up your business, that shares your spirits, and your taste for success. At Washington Financial, we pride ourselves on crafting solutions that are as one of a kind as businesses like Liberty Pole Spirits are. Go with the bank that gets you. Washington Financial Bank. Member FDIC. Learn more at washfin.bank.
My Dream Field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Geneva drove almost 10 minutes, 75 yards, 15 plays to start the ball game. Cap it off with Landon Smith's 3-yard touchdown run, his second rushing score of the season. And Geneva with the extra point kick by Evan Baker took a 7-0 lead. 5:05 left in the first quarter. WJ took less than 2 minutes to answer. 64-yard drive in 5 plays. Jake Pugh to Jake McCosko, 19-yard touchdown. Devin Wyant's extra point tied the game at 7-all. 3:07 to play in the first. little did we know the fireworks weren't over. They were just going to come faster. Less than a minute later, Geneva gets a second touchdown. This time, Darren Myers finds Keaton Baker behind the coverage, an 84-yard touchdown pass on 3rd and 11 from their own 16-yard line. Evan Baker's extra point gave Geneva a 14-7 lead, 2:08 to play in the first quarter. And from that point, it has been all W&J. Two plays, 75 yards, including a 62-yard pass play to John Peduzzi for the touchdown. Wyant's kick tied the ball game at 14-all. First play for Geneva. Running back David Reed has the ball ripped away from him. We think Makai Simmons got the recovery. WJ took over at the Geneva 29. Five plays later, Jake McCosco with his second TD grab of the game, a 7-yard toss from Pugh. Wyant's extra point put Jay up 21-14. Still in the first quarter, Geneva would muster just one first down in its next three possessions. Meanwhile, W&J would go 55 yards in seven plays. Pugh to Cernuto for 2 yards in the score. 54 yards in six plays. Kobe DeRosa running in from 4 yards out. And 42 yards in six plays. A spectacular throw and catch. Pugh to Peduzzi in the back of the end zone. It was almost like a basketball alley-oop as Peduzzi goes up right at the rim and just catch and dunk it home, and he makes the grab, and the extra point by Devin Wyatt brings us to a 42-14 lead at the break. I have W&J with 110 rushing yards. Volpatti leading the way with 37, Pugh with 32, DeRosa with 22, and Patricic, their leading rusher, only has 19. The Presidents have 110 yards rushing, and their leading rusher only has 19 to this point. Good balance there and getting people involved. And I'm going to comment about the runs by Volpatti. The last three runs were runs that we've longed to see. You got a nice size frame. Run it up in there.
I don't think you
don't tap your feet and don't tap your feet and try to, be cute. Pound it up in there.
No, those were three really good runs by Volpatti. And look, if you can have three guys do this, man, does that give you a great advantage in the second half when you start pounding away. And it's good to see. Those are good runs by Volpatti. Look, he did this in the bowl game last year, if you remember. He had a really good day that day. Sometimes I don't think he credits himself enough to be a good back.
Pound it up in there.
And let me just say about what you called the alley-oop. The alley-oop play that you described, the touchdown?
Yes.
Number one, great throw. I mean, it was a great throw. Had a lot of mustard on it. And Peduzzi showed his gracefulness as a receiver. I mean, he just went up, and that wasn't easy to catch, Bob. He was up, and that ball, he was just stuck. I mean, that was a great play, just a great play.
We're at the half, WJ 42, Geneva 14. News update, and then back for a check of last night's high school football action involving teams in the two-county area here on the WJPA Sports Network.
Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Caldwell with the WJPA W&J Halftime News Update. Sunshine and pleasant skies today. We'll check your complete forecast in a moment. Florida residents who fled hundreds of miles to escape Hurricane Milton made slow trips home on crowded highways, weary from their long journeys and the cleanup work awaiting them, but also grateful to be coming back alive. Milton made landfall Wednesday night as a powerful Category 3 hurricane, but officials say the toll could have been worse if not for the widespread evacuations. The still fresh devastation wrought by Hurricane Helene just 2 weeks earlier probably helped compel many people to flee. Milton killed at least 10 people when it tore across central Florida, flooding barrier islands and ripping the roof off of the Tampa Bay Rays baseball stadium and spawning deadly tornadoes. FEMA says it's running out of funds. Now Administrator Deanne Criswell is making a plea to Congress so the Federal Emergency Management Agency can continue serving people in hard-hit states. ABC's Christian Cordero reports from Capitol Hill.
Criswell says FEMA has enough money to support the immediate needs for everyone impacted by Helene and Milton, but that the eventual need for supplemental funding from Congress is, quote, just a matter of when, compounding the issue, staffing shortages. Sources tell ABC News during the storms, only 9% of FEMA's personnel were available to respond to any other disaster that could occur. And now the Small Business Administration is echoing the calls for more funding, saying new disaster loans are in jeopardy without Congress's help.
Major layoffs are coming for Boeing, as we hear from ABC's Alex Stone.
Boeing has lost over $25 billion since 2019, now bleeding money with its 737, 767, and 777 factories shut down due to 33,000 machinists who are out on strike and after issues with some of its planes. In a letter to employees, new CEO Kelly Ortberg says Boeing will be cutting about 10% of its workforce, or about 17,000 jobs. Boeing will also delay a rollout of its next version of the 777 and end its cargo version of the 767. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Vice President Kamala Harris's doctors say she is in excellent health and possesses the physical and mental resiliency to serve as president. Dr. Joshua Simmons is the physician to the vice president. He wrote in a two-page letter released Saturday that the 49-year-old vice president maintains a healthy, active lifestyle and that her most recent physical last April was unremarkable. Harris's advisors hope to use the moment to draw a contrast with Republican Donald Trump and raise questions about his fitness to serve. The 78-year-old former president has released only limited information about his health over the years. A new U.S. rule requires mammography centers to inform women about their breast density. The information isn't entirely new for some women because many states already had similar requirements. Dense breasts can make it harder to spot cancer on a mammogram. The best advice for a woman with dense breasts is to discuss with her doctor the pros and cons of additional screening methods. Researchers are studying better ways to detect cancer in women with dense breasts. So far, there's not enough evidence for a broad recommendation for additional screenings. And there are more bombings in the Middle East. Israel strikes hit the center of Beirut, destroying a building and killing more than 20 people. ABC's James Longman is at the site.
This was an apartment building. It's now been entirely reduced to a pile of rubble. I mean, the entire area has been decimated. We saw paramedics removing a body from the rubble, debris, smashed up cars, a mattress there on the side of the road. Now, there was another building also hit across the two sites. Some 22 people have been killed, more than 100 injured. Now, the target, according to local reports, was a senior Hezbollah official, but no one is confirming that. And the thing about these assassination attempts is they don't come with any warning.
That's ABC's James Longman. In sports, the Tigers and the Guardians face off for Game 5 this afternoon to see who moves on to face the Yankees in the ALCS. The Dodgers beat the Padres 2-0 last night. They'll move on to play the Mets in the NLCS. In other college football action, Pitt hosts California this afternoon at Acrisure Stadium. Penn State is on the road against the USC Trojans. WVU is hosting Iowa State tonight. The Penguins in NHL action are in Canada to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Scotiabank Arena. And then tomorrow we have Steelers football action. They are on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders. You can catch all the game coverage starting at 2:05 on 1450 AM. Your forecast for the rest of today, partly sunny and pleasant with a high near 72. Tonight, clouds with a chance of showers with a low of 57. And then tomorrow, windy with a slight chance of rain showers and a high of 75. That's your latest news update. I'm Kathy Caldwell for WJPA.
From opening night to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, don't miss a second of the NFL this season. Hi, this is Kurt Warner of Westwood One. Join our crew each week for the best in primetime NFL action. Monday night, Sunday night, and Thursday night football, plus marquee games on Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas, and more. Westwood One is the exclusive radio home for every primetime and postseason game.
Right here on WJPA, AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Welcome back to Cameron Stadium. We're at the half, 42-14, W&J leading Geneva, and W&J has the option to start the second half with the football. Last night in high school action, Matt Sieg ran for over 200 yards and five touchdowns, leading Fort Cherry to the Black Hills Conference Championship with a 49-34 win over Bishop Canavan at Dormont Stadium. The top-ranked Rangers trailed to start the fourth quarter before Shane Cornelli's 25-yard pick six gave the Fort the lead for good. where Cherry's defense shut out the Crusaders over the final 12 minutes to preserve the victory. Trailing by three, Monessen scored 20 straight points to stay in the Black Hills playoff race, beating Burgettstown 34-17. Tyvon Kershaw ran for 180 yards and three touchdowns. Colton County's two touchdown runs plus a safety had given the Blue Devils the lead early in the third quarter. DeRayon Washington caught eight passes for 170 yards and three touchdowns, and he threw a scoring pass as Sarah Catholic beat Chartiers Houston 33-7, the Eagles' first Black Hills Conference win. Aaron Walsh hit Dominic Coomer with an 11-yard touchdown pass for the Bucks, who fell out of playoff contention with that loss. In the Tri-County South, Jeff Morgan beat Bentworth 44-12, California top West Green 48-14, keeping the winners atop the conference standings and heading to a Week 9 showdown. Carmichael's 19-6 win over Ravella creates a four-team logjam for the league's final automatic playoff spot and maybe the league's final playoff spot overall, with West Green up one game on Ravella, Bentworth, and Carmichael's. The West Green Pioneers and Carmichael's play Friday night at the home of the Mikes. 2A Century Conference, Keystone Oaks and Wash High both won, staying within one game of section leader Seton LaSalle. KO won at Waynesburg 27-7, getting touchdowns from four different players while chewing up the clock, including, get this, in high school, an 11.5-minute drive to open the second half. Waynesburg's only points came early in the fourth on Jake Stevenson to Zach Giblet's 28-yard touchdown pass. Trenton Grooms ran for 130 yards. Tristan Reed scored three times, and Caleb Patton added a 33-yard pick six as Wash High beat Charleroi 41-6. Leading 14-0, Patton's interception on the opening possession of the second half gave the Little Prexies control of the game, their sixth straight win over the Cougars. In the 3A Western Hills, first place Avonworth sprinted to a 35-0 halftime lead and cruised to the 41-13 running clock win over McGuffey, the Highlanders' eighth straight loss. Malachi Ely and Dan Fermanic had 9-yard touchdown runs for McGuffey after intermission. Nico Morrow ran for over 350 and five touchdowns, leading Trinity to a 49-20 win at Chartiers Valley, keeping the Hillers within a game of first place Thomas Jefferson. Owen Gardner added another 100-plus yards on the ground for the Hillers. Peters Township got a pair of short TD runs from Nick Corey. Nolan DeLucia hit 15 of 20 passes for 182 and one score and ran for another 100-plus yards and a touchdown, leading the Indians to a 38-3 win over South Fayette, the Lions' second straight loss after a 6-0 start to the year. Peters Township sits one game back of likely Allegheny 6 champion Upper St. Clair. Cannon McMillan's Roman Cimaroli caught a 26-yard scoring pass from Ty Jansma in the opening quarter, but it was all North Allegheny from there. The Tigers rolled to a 38-6 win at Memorial Stadium. Canamac has now lost three straight since beating Mount Lebanon in overtime in mid-September. Friday's scheduled Thomas Jefferson and Ringgold game postponed. Ringgold officials investigate what they're calling alleged incidents of misconduct involving members of the football team. An online statement from Superintendent Randall Skorinovich says they are, quote, gathering information and will take all appropriate steps to address these allegations, end quote. As of now, WPIL treating the game as a postponement, and we'll address the situation later should it not be played. And Friday's Best Center at Mapletown game has been moved around several times since Thursday Eve only. Originally scheduled for Friday at 7, game time was changed to 4 p.m. to try to accommodate a shortage of game officials. Then, when the WPIL nixed that idea, the game was then moved to Monday night. When the game is finally played, one team will snap a long losing streak. Best Center has dropped 9 in a row dating back to early October a year ago. Mapletown has lost 6 in a row since beating Ravella 20-6 in Week 0. Quick look at the conference standings involving area teams here in the two-county area. 6A, Quad County, Canon McMillan currently sits at 1-3, a half game back of Hempfield, but the Hempfield Spartans hold the tiebreaker on Canon McMillan. For the Big Macs now, they either have to upset Central Catholic in week 9, or they have and they have to beat Norwin this coming week and get a combination of things to happen, including Hempfield losing. If Canamac doesn't upset the Central Catholic, Hempfield has to lose twice. No, I'm sorry, Hempfield has to lose this week at Mount Lebanon, also has to go 1-1 with Norwin down the stretch. Big Mac's playoff hopes in all kind of trouble. In the 5A Allegheny 6, Upper St. Clair with that touchdown pass in the final minute last night to get the 14-10 win against Bethel Park. Upper St. Clair likely going to win the section title. The Panthers play the last two teams in the standings, Moon and Baldwin, both of those at St. Clair. Bethel Park and Peters, 2-1, a game back of the leaders, and those two will play at Peters Township in week 9. In the 4A Big 6 Conference, Thomas Jefferson at 2-0, Bell Vernon and Trinity both at 2-1, and that those two teams are set to meet in week 9 at Trinity. The Hillers this week will host Laurel Highlands while Bell Vernon goes to Ringgold. The Rams dealing with those misconduct allegations, and we'll have to see how that all plays out. McGuffey trailing the field in the 3A Western Hills Conference. Highlanders have a non-conference this week with Highlands and then finish at Quaker Valley in the final week of the season. 2A Century Conference, Seton LaSalle unbeaten at 4-0. The Rebels play at Keystone Oaks and then at Washington to close the regular season. So they have to play still the two teams directly behind them in the standings. Washi is 3-1. KO is 4-1. Keystone Oaks has a non-conference in week 9. Washi goes to Carleton and then home with Seton LaSalle. Waynesburg sitting right there at 2-2. And Waynesburg, actually, if you think about it, chalk holds. Waynesburg's in good shape. Top three teams automatically get to the playoffs, and Waynesburg has the tiebreaker on Wash High. Should we go to a three-way, Keystone Oaks, Wash High, each lose once to Seton LaSalle and win their other games, and Waynesburg wins out, we've got a three-way tie, which would be broken by way of tiebreaker points. Keystone Oaks in the best situation there. Then if that happens and you go head-to-head, then Waynesburg gets the three spot over Wash High. Little Prexy's really sitting well, and Waynesburg is as well. If both take care of their business in games they should win, they'll both make the 2A playoffs. In the 1A Black Hills, Fort Cherry has clinched at least the share of the section championship. Manesson and Bishop Canavan are sitting one game back, and those two play Saturday at Dormont Stadium for second place. Cornell likely to make the playoffs as well. Top three advance plus four 1A wild cards chosen by the committee. So those four all likely to get in. Nobody else is going to make it out of the Black Hills. And in the Tri-County South, mentioned Jeff Morgan in California in a collision course in week 9. They're set to play at California. Both should be unbeaten when they get there. The winner will be first, the loser second. And then you have West Green, a game up on Bentworth, Avella, and Carmichael's, and that may all come down to tiebreaker points with the results of the next 2 weeks set to make that determination. Going to be fun as we sprint to the finish in the 2024 high school football regular season. Start over.
Always an interesting time of the year with playoff possibilities, tiebreakers. It's what makes it fun. It's going to get a lot more fun in the PAC with the result of today's CMU-Grove City game. CMU's trying its second field goal here in the first quarter. They've had territorial advantage, but they missed the first field goal. And they go up 3-0 right now.
WJ will receive the second half kickoff. Presidents lead 42-14. Ryan Reitler out of Greensburg Central Catholic to kick off. His line drive kick will be taken by Kobe DeRosa at the 5, right up the numbers, 10, 15, 20. Stop and go, trying to move back toward the sideline and crosses the 30-yard line. Return of about 27.
Pretty nice return. You want to get one right now, Bob, and then maybe try to add one more and then get the troops out.
W&J first and 10 from the 32. Numbers that I gave you throughout that first half, really pretty much on par with what the official stats have. Little disparity. Pass play, Cernuto makes the catch and powers up over the 40 to the 45-yard line, 46-yard line, first down.
It's a simple little swing pass out there. Cernuto, he brings a certain toughness and edge to him.
14 yards and a first down. Pugh hands the ball off. It's running play, Patricic. Trying to be a little patient there and find a seam. Gets a couple, not more than that.
Yeah, he didn't have a whole lot to go on, so he had to kind of see what was going on. Well defended by Geneva there.
Tight end Raymond Holmes checks in. Anthony Rizzotti goes out. Holmes will line up in a slug back position to the right. Second and 8. Pass across the middle is caught by Cernuto into Geneva territory. Down at the 46, picks up 6, third and short.
Just simply put himself over the middle, came back to the ball, just sat there, and Pugh delivered him the ball. This is interesting.
Quarterback under center, running play to the right. Kobe DeRosa bounces it outside. 40, stiff arm, shoves a man out of the way, reverses field back into traffic, and he's going to get down inside the 35-yard line.
He got leverage out there on the right, and that was unique. Quarterback under center, three backs.
And that cutback, the stiff arm first to shed one would-be tackler, and I think that's who's actually shaken up over there. May have lost his balance in getting shoved out of the way and may have tweaked something. 14-yard run for DeRosa and a president's first down.
Well, that's going to give the Grovers a little bit to think about, that little formation right there.
Yeah, a little full house.
I'm sure, that's why that was put on tape right there.
No question. A little full house action. Pugh under center with a straight line behind him. W.J. with a first down at the Geneva 32 after the injury stoppage. Patricic now in. First and 10. Pugh shows to Patricic. Slant. McCosko makes a contested grab and takes it down to about the 12.
Wow, that was a well-thrown ball, too.
20-yard pickup to McCosko. First and 10. Patricic gets the call inside the 10 and down to almost the 5-yard line.
He almost gave him a limp leg right there. He hopped through the line. He gave him almost a little limp leg action.
Run good for 6. Patrice gets the call again, bounces outside, now cuts inside to 5. He's down at about the 2.5. I don't think he's going to get the first down here. Now here comes the jumbo package.
Oh, yeah. Under center again. There it is. I don't know if Geneva's going to get their guys off.
Well, yeah, because the president subbed, they have to. And the umpire didn't realize it at first, but then steps in. Ball's on the ground, and the presidents get it back. Sometimes you outfox yourself.
Well, he's probably, like, not used to being under center, and he came out too quick.
fourth down and one.
Out with the jumbo, back with the receivers. I would think 33 is going to be involved some way here.
Cernodo currently lined up in a slot right. Fourth down and one. DeRosa gets the call, gets the first down, and muscles. But he's going to be marked short. Tell you, if this is the NFL or major college with replay, he's in the end zone.
That's hard to believe, honestly.
Wow. First and goal at the one.
Okay, you're going to drag it out of me, aren't you? If it's not 42-14, it's a touchdown.
Yeah, I think. DeRosa gets the call, doesn't get in on first effort, won't get in on this play. Good job for Geneva's Riley, Matt, or excuse me, Rashawn Johnson out of East Pennsboro.
Yes.
Got a hold around the waist from behind and made the stop. No gain.
He did a good job. He's a big, big man.
Pugh had come clear out to the 15 to make sure what he was getting from the sideline. DeRosa single back. Pugh wants him on his right hip. Second and goal. DeRosa coming wide to the left. Tiptoes inside the pylon. Touchdown.
Yep, got him on a perimeter and got him out around everybody.
WJ takes 5 minutes and change off the third quarter clock. Goes 68 yards and 11 plays. And adds to the margin. Devin Wyatt looking to add yet another point to it. DeRosa's second rushing touchdown of the day and sixth of the year. Wyatt's kick is up and good. WJ 49, Geneva 14. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patrisic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
And WJ has beaten Geneva in the last 18 straight matches. The last time Geneva beat WJ was 1983. You may know, if you know your WJ history, that was the year before this current non-losing streak started. And the last time Geneva won here was a decade before that.
Wow, didn't realize that.
51 years ago. President's kickoff, and it's going to sail over the head of would-be return man Luke Krumbacher.
It's a quick score and a one quarter. CMU 3, Grove City 0.
Ball out to the 25-yard line on the kickoff touchback. Zakai Simmons over chatting about
he likes to chat
upper-level physics and stuff like that. Yeah, probably not. Probably wasn't the subject. First and 10, Geneva from the 25, President's defense against David Reed. They submarine him and take him down a gain of two. You know, if you're Geneva, if you're W&J right now, the thing you want now is the game to be over.
Absolutely.
Healthily, with everybody healthy.
That's what I'm saying. One more touch, get them out.
Keaton Baker, who's really been one of the bright spots, a couple of long receptions for Geneva. Reed on the run, first down and then some. Going to carry it out across the 40 and delivers the blow on the sideline, and he and Zakai Simmons talking about stuff after the play.
That was Geneva's best play since the first quarter.
18-yard run and a first down. That's Geneva's best running play of the ball game. Had only 62 yards rushing at intermission. First and 10 from the 45. Myers on a play fake. Heaves it up deep, threw the ball outside, and it's intercepted. Carson Laconi with the pick. They're going to get roughing the passer, though. There's a flag down in the backfield.
Looks that way.
Take the interception off the board. Back to the previous spot and mark off 15 yards.
Called that on Nathaniel Cato Harris. He objects strenuously.
I've never known a defender called for that who didn't strenuously object. Except maybe Jack Lambert. Yeah, I hit the dude. Put a skirt on him. First and 10 at the J40. Pitch back. Trying to go around left end. It's Ben Pitta. Going to pick up about six, maybe seven, out of bounds. Ball to the 33-yard line. It's just the second carry for Pitta.
He gained seven to make it second and three.
Second down, 3 yards to go. End over, set to the right. Slot comes in motion. Myers hands it off to Reed. He is put down at the 31-yard line, gain of two.
Keaton Hall and Nathaniel Cato Harris.
And I think in some regards, one thing that Gino DeMarco's looking for here is to try to get his offense back into a rhythm, not necessarily for today, but for the rest of the campaign.
Exactly. Well, they don't want to play the rest of the game out of character. So, I mean, he knows he's not going to be capable of scoring that many points.
Third and one. Reed gets just enough to move the sticks, pulled back from the 29-yard line, but will get the first down.
Dawson Beats could help from making Nathaniel Cato Harris make the tackle. It'll be first and 10 for Geneva at the 29-yard line.
Reed gets two. 39 yards on nine carries now for David Reed, the junior out of North Carolina. Toss back, and there is pursuit out on the edge, but not before Pitta picks up about two, maybe three.
Three.
The W&J player shaken up. This looks to be a left shoulder, left pec.
It's 58 upright. Yes.
When
not that one's more important for the other, but.
Yeah, leading 49-14, this is the last thing that either coach wants to deal with.
That's what I'm talking about. I know they'd like to get one more offensive series in.
When President's teammates started immediately calling for help. Again, this is it's either a left shoulder or left pec injury. Athletic trainers are working on, there is movement in both the shoulder and the elbow. Sean Berardino,
yep.
Defensive lineman, is the injured player. Gets to his feet, going to stay there in that spot for a moment. Well,
that dog can't turn
it
out.
It is
there?
Indeed. Keep working on that. Now he's going to try to usher him to the near sideline. President's home again next 2 weeks. Next Saturday, home with Grove City. 5:30 airtime for President's Football Preview. Kickoff here at Cameron Stadium set for 6 o'clock. And then Bethany comes to town the following week.
10 minutes to go in the second quarter. And the national ball game, Alabama 20, South Carolina 19.
Ball at WJ 26-yard line, second down and 7 for Geneva. WJ up 49-14. Myers on the pitch back. Smith around the right end gets to about the 21. We'll pick up 5.
For Geneva.
Landon Smith, sophomore out of Laurel.
Carson Laconi makes.
Coney on the stop. Smith's 5-yard run, his first carry of the second half. Geneva's yardage rushing leader. Came into the game with 285 on nearly 50 carries. Third down and about 2, and the fullback gets the call but doesn't get the first down this time. A little trouble with that. I don't know if Myers had trouble with the snap or exactly what happened there, but Jordan Wilmore's first carry of the day out of Elizabeth Forward. Wilmore stopped at the 20, so it's fourth down and a yard to go. This offense, tough to stop at 1 yard, but and now they'll motion receiver Keaton Baker back in tight. Fourth and 1. Fullback Wilmore doesn't get there.
It's close. Yeah. But I think you're right.
Boy, that's a great spot. And they're going to move the sticks, I think.
That would be a first down for Geneva. After
Wilmore got airborne and turned parallel to the line of scrimmage. Well, and Wilmore is going to get credit for the first down. And again, I don't have the luxury of looking straight down the line of scrimmage where they are on the field right now.
Well, he certainly got a good spot, but.
First and 10 at the President's 19. Myers on the keeper. Squirms forward to about the 15-yard line. That's the 10th play of the possession. Picked up now 60 yards, reminiscent of the first possession of the ball game in that regard. Myers with 16 carries for 12 yards on the afternoon. Second down, Myers got a little opening, carries forward for 5 more.
Myers carries for Geneva. Nathaniel Pinesh.
So third down and 1. I'm not exactly sure what else I was hearing there, partner. You were hearing the same thing, huh?
Yeah.
Third down and a yard to go at the WJ 10. It'll be Wilmore this time. He gets a penetration and doesn't get a good spot. He got to the 8-yard line before being pulled back, and he's going to be spotted down at the 9, but this may be right at the stick for a first down. Wow. And I was zoomed clear in with the glasses on that carry, and he was to the 8-yard line this time.
Was. They gave him the first down. But
that appears to be a first down for Geneva.
First and goal at the 9. Wilmore, 3 carries, 3 yards. First and goal at the 9. Myers up under center. Runs it into Reed, the fullback, and he is taken Reed down at the 8.
Keaton Hall makes the hit.
5'11", 220-pound junior out of Goldsboro, North Carolina, and a Geneva player shaken up. 2:20 to play, third quarter while they attend to the injured Geneva player. We'll take a timeout. 49-14, W&J in the lead.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
Back early in this possession, the possession looked to be shut down with an interception, but that taken off the board by way of a roughing the quarterback penalty. My apologies. A little noise in the old headset there, and I thought I'd deal with that. All of a sudden, a lot of me in the headsets. 14th play of the possession that has taken more than 7.5 minutes off the clock. Myers on the option pitch. Landon Smith trying to get wide. He's going to get to the five, dives for the pylon, and is in.
Nice run.
He's got the angle and was able to sprint and dive for the pylon and gets his second touchdown of the day and third of the year, scoring from 8 yards out, capping the 75-yard 14-play drive. 7 minutes and 40 seconds off the clock, and that drive, with the exception of the penalty, all on the ground.
First quarter, like.
W&J had scored 42 straight points. Extra point kick by Evan Baker, up and good. W&J 49, Geneva 21. 2:03 to play third quarter. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network in just a minute.
You deserve a bank that lifts up your business, that shares your spirits, and your taste for success. At Washington Financial, we pride ourselves on crafting solutions that are as one of a kind as businesses like Liberty Pole Spirits are. Go with the bank that gets you. Washington Financial Bank. Member FDIC. Learn more at washfin.bank.
This is Coach Guy Monicalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
Second lengthy drive in terms of time and number of plays. Third long scoring possession for Geneva today. Little chip kickoff flag down here, called against the kicking team, maybe offside. A ball is going to be corralled at about the 25. If W&J is just going to take the ball, they can add the offside penalty to the end of the run.
On that last series, Bob, Justin Johns became the second leading tackler in W&J history. We're reaching some milestones today for some individuals.
Second kickoff will come. Geneva going to be forced to re-kick.
Think about some of the linebackers you and I have covered.
Ooh-wee. Justin Johns in an extra year as well due to the COVID situation. Run up on the kickoff by Reitler. This time he'll kick it deep. Volpatti and DeRosa look at each other. Finally, Volpatti picks it up, and the president's dodge a bullet there. Volpatti out across the 25, gets to the 30-yard line. And
it's a nice run. That was old Alphonse Gaston. I got it. You take it. We'll both watch it drop.
And they end up with a ball a yard or two better than they would have had they just marked it off at the end of the last run. The ball out to the 33-yard line, first and 10. Just under 2 minutes remaining in the third quarter. W&J with this one in hand comfortably, but like to get a little more work done for the ones. And a Geneva player appears to be cramping up and down on the field. Noah Hutcherson. Man, he's going to get to his feet, do that cramped leg walk off.
I didn't think we were going to see this kind of sun today, Robert. Been pretty bright here in the second half.
Well, I didn't expect to see the rain that we started with.
No, that caught up. That came from behind everybody.
First and 10, W&J from the 33-yard line. Starters are all in there still. At least one more possession here, it would look. Presidents, after the injury timeout, trouble getting aligned the way they want. Now set, trips left. Single back, show to Volpatti. Now the deep ball to McCosco. Can't make the one-hand grab. He couldn't bring his other hand up with him, and there is no flag. Tylan Cousin Jr. on the defense. He had McCosco's left arm blocked from coming up to try to join in the party.
I'm going to say it again. These guys officiate the scoreboard more than it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Second and 10. Peduzzi wide open, and Pugh rushes the throw and misfires. That may have gone for a touchdown.
Oh, I think so. There was nobody around him.
Now third and 10. W&J with the lead. Everybody out in the pattern. Come back. Peduzzi can't make the catch. Holding penalty coming up.
Well, finally, I mean,
field
good
judge,
Lord.
Field judge Mark Wise with the flag.
And clearly he held him.
That may be before the ball was in the air. Yep, prior to the pass, holding on Geneva.
It wasn't prior to the pass. He came out of his route with his shirt extended.
Ball out to the 43-yard line. Penalty first down, moves the sticks. Cernuto motions, running play going right side, and Patricic taken down after a short gain. May get two on the carry. 90 seconds to play third quarter. Presidents with four ball carriers plus 30 yards each today. Finds a man, McCosco running free. One man to beat, and he turned him inside out. Help coming, but McCosco takes the distance.
Hold
There's
on.
There's a flag down. Ineligible man downfield. This time, and all three ineligible flags have come from the wing official on the Geneva sideline. In the first half, it was Brendan O'Brien, and now he's on the W&J sideline, and that foul called by Sean Gooch.
Was that a play action? Because I don't remember. Okay. You could call that anytime you want to call it.
Well, first Second down and 15. Completion to Patricek, and he splits the deep defense. Nice couple of nice moves. 30, 25. Stays on his feet. He's going to the end zone.
Oh, wow. What a play. What a call, and what a catch and run. And guess what? No flags.
60 yards.
Wow, that was electric.
Owen Patricek with the grab and the touchdown. Check out these receiving numbers for Patricek before that. Three catches, minus one net yards. His fourth catch of the year goes 60 yards to the house.
Just an update from Grove City. The Wolverines scored with about 3:40 left in the half. They are up over CMU 7-3.
Delay of game on the Presidents. W&J short somebody, and maybe that's what they were waiting for.
Well, they called for Sanudo to come out, but I'm not going to actually blame him.
He's got the right wing. A little longer PAT. This is Ricky Hunter on the kick, and boy, just enough leg to get it there.
It wasn't pretty, but he got there.
Ricky Hunter, fifth-year senior out of Freeport. 49.6 seconds to play, third quarter. W&J 56, Geneva 21. Kickoff when we come right back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricek, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Sean Gooch and referee Andre King, the recipients of a discussion. And it wasn't really a discussion. It was a dissertation.
Yes.
It was one way. Mike Sirianni unhappy with the ineligible man downfield penalties.
Well, I think what he was pointing over that way, he was saying that all three calls came from that sideline. And he's not happy with it.
And, again, the situation happens in the second half. The headlinesman and the line judge switch sides.
Right.
So O'Brien was on that side in the first when there were two called. And now Sean Gooch is on that side, and he's called one. But, yeah, all three penalties came from that side. Kick is muffed. Ball bounced out to about the 15 and all kind of trouble. This time, unlike a week ago when Westminster muffed a kickoff and ended up with about a 45-yard return on it, this time it's a return of about 2 feet. Presidents do not break down in coverage. And
that could have been a disaster for Geneva right there.
Under a minute to play here in this third quarter, and W.J. up 56-21. Remember, Geneva led 14-7. W.J. scored 42 straight points. First and 10, Myers on the keeper, and Myers ends up churning the legs and picking up a yard or two, but he was going down pretty quickly. Brock Sherman in on the tackle. And he's going to get 2 yards out to the 19. 18 carries, 19 yards for Myers.
That's a tough day.
And Geneva is not going to snap it. Gino DeMarco says, just stand right there. We're all good. We're not snapping the football. And we're at the end of three quarters. W.J. 56, Geneva 21. Fourth quarter here on the WJPA Sports Network when we come back.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on advanced orthopedics and rehabilitation.
Ryan Rack here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me this week as the Giants host the Bengals. Cincinnati has had their share of close games so far this season, including last week's heartbreaking overtime loss to the Ravens. Can they get back in the win column against the Giants, who are coming off an impressive win against the Seahawks? Join us to find out on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Unofficially, I have W&J rolling up 130 yards offense in that third quarter, now 467 total, including 140 on the ground. On the other side, Geneva got 62 yards rushing in that third period, doubling their rushing total for the game. But they're at 222. That's 51 yards more than they had at the end of the first quarter. The J defense had minus 11 rushing or total yardage for Geneva in the second quarter, 62 in that third period.
Yeah, Geneva got back to doing what they want to do, but that's a little different when you're down 20, 30 points.
Second and eight, Myers rolls out, and he's not going to get back to the line of scrimmage. Taken down at the 16-yard line, loss of three. Caleb Romano was listed as the starter, but we got word early that he was not going to play due to illness most of the week.
Johns and Keaton Hall are now out of the game.
Third and 11. Back at the 16, opening minute of the fourth quarter.
Austin Dietz is along the sidelines now, too. He's finished for today.
Myers under center, drops and slides to his left, throws the ball toward the sideline. Diving attempt to get to the ball comes up short. Seth Tyson targeted for the first time, the junior out of Maryland. Averaging about 10 yards a reception this year, but can't get that one. Just the first pass of the second half for Geneva.
Jake Pugh's day is done. Looks like Kellen Stahl will come in.
Fourth punt of the day for Geneva's Evan Baker. That's the kick away, a little wobbly. Rosati is going to make a fair catch in Geneva territory. Out to the 46-yard line, so 30 yards on that punt and the fair catch. And we'll get a chance to see Kellen Stahl. Kellen Stahl now to take over. Looks like Cam Mulvaney in the backfield. Roberto Smith in the game as well. Hard to miss him. Pass play to the right side. Caught, and out of bounds goes Jensen Perkovich. Perkovich catch to the 37-yard line. President's at the line of scrimmage, ready to go. Running play, Mulvaney, and he's going to get only back to the line, no gain. No, third down and a yard to go.
No gain. That'll make it third and one.
This time play goes to the left side. Andrew Sharp, I believe, the ball carrier, will get to the 35-yard line to move the sticks. I think we were 24 there, right?
Yep.
Sharp moves the chains. One of the challenges here for head coaches with leads like this. You get your seconds in there. You want to run your offense, but you also don't want to rub salt in the wound. And I know that Mike certainly doesn't want to do that to Gino DeMarco.
I'm going to say what I've been saying all year about that. We started with this in week one. If Jake Pugh gets hurt, Kellen Stahl's coming in. And Kellen Stahl's has to be able to play at the pace that the starting unit. The only way he can do that is to play at that pace right now.
Running play right side with room. Going to pick up 10, maybe 12 on the carry by Dom Barca in a first down. Just a quick note, the previous pass play caught by T.J. Lynn. And now first and 10 at the, 19-yard line, 11 yards on the Barca run. He'll get it again. Barca, fresh legs, 10, 5, drive into the end zone, touchdown.
See you through that block. Roberto Smith, baby.
President Sko quickly, 46 yards, and add a score to take it to 62-21. PAT pending. Mel to hold. Ricky Hunter to attempt a kick here. And I mentioned Mike and Geno Smith and been longtime friends in the coaching world. Ricky Hunter's kick slides inside the right upright. Good.
Well, listen, if you know Geno DeMarco, you would never want to do anything to show him up. No, he's a good man. He's been here a long time.
I mean, you look at Mike, he's been here 22 years now, and you think that's a long time to be head coach in one place. And a decade before he got here as head coach, Gino DeMarco was at Geneva.
Exactly. Grove City failed inside the five to add to a touchdown, but they did get a field goal, so they're going to probably lead at halftime 10-3 against CMU.
There's a piece of me that thinks for W&J that's the best scenario.
Well, it gives them another chance in what you would call that's going to be a winner. For W&J, that's a win to stay alive game.
Indeed.
And the benefits of beating them undefeated would be better with CMU with a loss. And now you're setting yourself up for a whole possibility of tiebreakers if you can beat those guys.
Exactly.
And we're going to go back. If that holds, we're going to be back to talking about what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And
well, there's multiple things we're going to be talking
about.
Well,
it's going to be it'll be another fun, long week. But and the other thing that's going to add to that is it's a night game, so we got to wait a little bit longer.
Liam Campbell on the run-up and the kickoff. Looking up into the sun, fielding the kick is Ariel Pierre, the defensive back, returns, trying to get to the right hash marks from outside the left numbers. And does not get to the 25. And the line of scrimmage is going to be the 24. And once again, Geneva is going to do what Geneva does and try to get off the field here. Keep people healthy. 63-21, W&J with the lead. Meyer's already the second quarterback, so this looks like an eye backfield behind him. Ball's on the ground. Meyer's tried to hand it off, pulled it back out, tried to hand it off again, and it pops up in the air. And Geneva able to recover the loose football. Loss of a yard.
Well, you know the other benefactor of this today. It quietly has not lost a game and have won by blowouts all game, all year, they haven't played the best teams yet, is Case Western. And they will be pulling big time for W&J next week. Although they can still control their own destiny.
And we go to Case in a couple of weeks.
Which has not been a kind place to W&J.
Pass play. Receiver got behind the coverage, but pass overthrown. Intended for Landon Smith, I believe. Nope, Keaton Baker. My apologies. That's... Pass like that hurt the Presidents early on. It put Geneva in front 14-7, but that one off the mark. Myers has not completed a pass since then. That was late first quarter.
That'll be a big challenge next week. I don't think W&J's seen quarterback like they're going to see next week. And the ability to throw the ball around.
Third and 11, Myers. Going to get hit, stood on his feet for a moment, and then gets hit again and again and goes down on the sack. Loss back to the 18-yard line. Loss of five. Evan Baker to punt once again. It's 21 charge runs for quarterback Darren Myers today.
Wow. Delay game.
Somebody next to us right on it.
That's what I wanted to talk about. I want to throw you a couple names here on the Geneva staff if you happen to look at it this week.
I didn't. Not deeply. Go ahead.
These names mean anything to you? Keith Humphreys, assistant coach.
Oh, yeah.
Beaver Falls head coach in the 2001 WPL championship game against Wash High. Here's another one. This is a former Geneva quarterback. Don Phillips. Former center coach.
Yes, Lonely End center coach.
1988. I happened to be in Ithaca when that was going
out of bounds pass play for a touchdown. I think I remember that correctly.
Yes. I did not witness the Lonely End. I was at Ithaca College. That was W&J's first foray against the Bombers, and it was a bomb.
Did I come up the next day?
I think you might have. I can't remember. I think you did. I think you and Mark did.
Fourth down. And about 16, and Baker just gets that kick away. Fair catch called for and made. Ethan Wertman on the fair catch.
I ran those names past Coach Monacalvo this week.
He probably got similar reactions.
Well, we talked about that Beaver Falls team was a really good team. And then the discussion about center. We had that discussion again.
I'm sure words Lonely End came up. I'm pretty confident of that. Sean Curry in the backfield. Stahl dumps the pass off near side. Makai Evans going to get inside the Geneva 40-yard line. Put the ball at about the 38, 9 yards on the completion. Kellen Stahl comes into the game 3 for 3. .9:25 remaining in the ball game. Curry gets the handoff. Curry will move the sticks as he hits over the left guard for about 2 to the 36. Two yards for Curry. Curry stays in the game. And he takes the handoff. Got stood up. Curry gets off of that.
Curry again on the carry.
Taken backwards, but we'll get forward progress to the 33. And the challenge now for W&J is to this is not their regular offense that they're running now.
No, I think it's they're in just hand the ball off mode.
Run the clock out mode. 8 minutes and 15 seconds of that. Running play going straight ahead. Andrew Sharp, and he's going to get a yard, maybe two, call it two to the 31. And the other thing about this now, I mean, here's W&J needing 5 yards on third down. Now you run your offense, try to move the sticks, do what you do.
I think they're going to run two plays, to be honest with you. I think they're just going to keep handing it off. I'm wrong. You were right.
Pass play well short, dumped off to the near side. Not close. Hunter Bennett, fifth-year tight end out of East Canton, Ohio. Kellen Stahl's first incompletion of the day. Cam Mulvaney checks back into the game at the backfield position. Up here comes Zach Seaman and Makai Evans. Yeah, we're going to move a little higher up the depth chart there with Seaman getting in the game, back in the game. Fourth and five. Stahl forced to roll out. Going to make a man miss and pick up the first down.
Well, 20.
He's
going to
get more than that. Stumbles and goes knocked down inside the five. If he doesn't stumble, he's in the end zone.
That's his strength right there, buddy. You get him moving, that's where you want it.
Get a ball down at the 3 yard line. Kellen Stahl runs for 28.
And he's done for the day.
I think the Presidents are going to kick a field goal.
You are correct.
7:09 to play, fourth quarter. Just a injury timeout for Geneva. We'll take it as well. W&J 63, Geneva 21. Back in just a moment.
You deserve a bank that lifts up your business, that shares your spirits, and your taste for success. At Washington Financial, we pride ourselves on crafting solutions that are as one of a kind as businesses like Liberty Pole Spirits are. Go with the bank that gets you. Washington Financial Bank. Member FDIC. Learn more at washfin.bank.
When will you start your film breakdown, partner?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. There should not be one person associated with W&J football or any ancillary people that should not be ready to go.
Wyatt with a 20-yard field goal. And the Presidents lead at 66-21. Geneva is going to get the ball back with 7:03 to play in the fourth.
Just some quick scores here. Wisconsin Lacrosse 30, Wisconsin Oshkosh 14.
Bagosh.
Well, we got an update here from Mr. Jack.
See what he's doing right there? That's what I wanted last night, you know?
You had him in another capacity.
I did. Well, it wasn't Jack that I wanted to do that, but I wasn't able to pull off that little staff addition.
Wisconsin Platteville 7, River Falls, which is supposedly a really good team, 0, second quarter. Central of Iowa 3, Coe 0. Hardin-Simmons 16. Mary Hardin-Baylor 0. Paul and Wallace 16, Otterbein 0. John Carroll 21, Capital 0. The last we had, Teal was up on Allegheny 14-7.
W.J. set the kickoff. Run up Liam Campbell. Puts the foot to it. Fair catch indicated and made back around the 7-yard line. The Brown family in the house. Good to see y'all. Geneva will take over first and 10 at its own 25-yard line after the touchback. A little over 7 minutes remaining in the ball game.
2 minutes left in the Allegheny Teal game. Tomcats, 21, Allegheny 7. That would be Teal's first?
Yes. First and 10, running play coming up over the left side of the Geneva O-line. And take a little deeper on the depth chart for Geneva as well as Kane Ladd, a freshman out of Kingston, Tennessee, the ball carrier. And Ladd gets two. Fake the toss, handoff, and good arm across the chest. The ball comes out.
Oh, man.
The Presidents end up with it.
Take it
to the house.
Wow.
Just a good, tough tackle. And Presidents touchdown. Chris Hood on the run back.
Now, even I would have been okay if they threw flags there. Yeah. It happened too fast.
And W&J short a man.
This happens all the time when you get to this stage of the game.
Well, yeah, when you get four players deep on your special teams. And now W&J got to use the timeout. That won't make Coach Mike happy.
I think he's going to let that one slide. There's not even space enough on those charts, to, special team charts, for all this going on here.
Chris Hood on the fumble return. Well, we got about 20. The line of scrimmage is, what, the 27, and that tackle was made at the 25, so about 25 yards on the fumble return for the touchdown. Ricky Hunter for the PAT. Jake Mel gets to keep on holding. Doesn't matter how deep we are. Mel tees it up and Hunter kicks it home.
6 points. You're going to have to start looking at most points since here.
73-21, W&J with the lead. I just might happen to have that last time. I don't know if I have a scoring one. Oh, yeah, I do. Last time we crossed 70 points was in 08. Now, this is 73. I don't know when the last time we scored more than 73.
There won't be any more of that. I guarantee you, Coach Sirianni has told anyone, just do not score.
What do we have? 6:20 still to play in the ball game.
Yeah, we were flying along before, not now.
Teal and Bethany both winless in the league this year. One win apiece for Allegheny, St. Vincent, and Waynesburg. Geneva 2-3. Westminster 3-1. W&J well on the way to 5-1. Grove and Case Western both 4-0, and the Carnegies and Mellons are 5-0. Fair catch indicated. And Geneva will get it right back at the 25-yard line again. Geneva first and 10 from the 25. Darren Myers must be as deep as the Golden Tornadoes go on the quarterback depth chart. He's the two, QB2, and he has gone the whole way today. Myers hands off to the fullback, and the play goes backwards. And play stopped after a gain of a couple. Kane Ladd again, the runner. Going to get about four to the 29. Thing I don't have is who the ball carrier was. Finley, okay, thank you. He's had a rough day. Three carries, zero net yards, a fumble loss, return for a touchdown. Myers hands it off, a little seam for Ladd, pounds it up over the 35 and moves the sticks.
Wow, I think everybody's playing in this game.
Ladd to the 37.
Oh, my God. Neither team. These guys playing right now are so new to this. Two WJD backs were going to go back to their sideline. Two Geneva backs were going to go back to theirs.
First and 10 from the 37 for Geneva. Toss play coming to the near side. Strung out. Good job to stay inbounds for a moment. Pick up a few extra yards. Nice run there by Jeremiah Richardson. Heretofore limited to kick return duty. And now out to the 44-yard line. Seven yards for Richardson. Dive over the right side goes virtually nowhere. And that time it's Logan Hartsham, the ball carrier. And he, in fact, gets no gain. Third down and three. And I'm out of lines on my sheet for these running backs. Second man through, gets the handoff, and going to get the first down, carry out to the 49-yard line. Landon Smith back in the game to move the sticks. And Geneva with the ball at the 49-yard line. Smith run good for five. Sounds like the president's sideline trying to get somebody else moved up the depth chart and get them into the game.
Timeout. Geneva.
Yeah, they were running out of time on the play clock. All right, I might need another roster here. This is number six, and they were calling for Dante, and none of the three number sixes that I have on a WJ roster have the name Dante. Let's see what this roster looks like. Nope, I don't have a Dante wearing a number six.
They're talking about Daruba. Yeah. Jack adds another name to it, so I'm going to be quiet now.
And you watch. Now, oh, no, he did come out. Yep. First and 10, Geneva at the 49-yard line. Toss play to the right, and that play blown up. Jeremiah Richardson taken down at the line of scrimmage. Like freshman Deshaun Telfair comes in the defensive backfield now. And the number six player to be named has left the game. Second down and 10 from the 49, 2.5 minutes to play. Myers wants to put it up, floats one down the field, underthrown, intercepted by the previously mentioned Telfair. There's a flag in the backfield. If they're going to call this roughing the passer, I got a beef with that. Personal foul, roughing the passer. Second interception of the day for the Presidents taken off the board. I can't comment on the first roughing penalty. This one I can. If it's 24-21, that's an interception.
I'm not going there. I'm not. I just don't want to do it today because these guys, they constantly do it, and it's not right. They officiate the scoreboard.
Ball at the President's 36. Geneva with a new set of downs. Running play not going very far. Gain of maybe 2 as they get inside the 35-yard line. It's like Jordan Wilmore, the ball carrier, and another Geneva player shaken up. That is starting left guard Nicholas Winowich.
2-minute timeout.
I don't think Jack liked that call either.
Yeah. He's heard me for a long time talk about officiating the scoreboard. So.
I have to give you a compliment. You raised a fine daughter and an outstanding son, and it's a pleasure every Friday night to work with Jack.
You better throw Marissa's name in there because she's the one. Thank you.
Well, as parents, you've done good. You know, and for 20-somethings to be recognized as what I'm recognizing your son for, you've done good, John.
Thank you.
All right, after the abbreviated 2-minute timeout, second down and 8 for the Golden Tornadoes. Fullback dive goes nowhere. Going to squirm off for a couple on the play. Wilmore, the ball carrier. And gets a yard on the play. Third down and 7 for the Geneva Golden Tornadoes. Well, and Telfair not going to get a chance to get that interception back. He's subbed out by the number 6 to be named player.
And that's what you feel bad about, a kid that does something that, you know, first time gets it taken away from him.
Third and 7, Myers hands off to the fullback, and that play forward for a yard, maybe 2, Wilmore. As we're going to click down to under a minute before the ball is snapped again. Wilmore, 2 more yards on that. 6 carries for 8 yards. Quarterback Darren Myers, 21 carries for 10 yards.
This game started real well for Geneva.
It did indeed. 75 yards offense on 15 plays, 5 yards a pop. Toss play to the right. Richardson strung out and taken down. The ball goes over on downs with 34 seconds to play. I mean, think about that. They had 75 yards on their first possession. They had 222 through the end of 3 quarters.
Yep. Yeah, it started real well. They, you know, they had WJ a little bit confused with the offense, but once WJ figured out how to deal with the option, it was Katie barred the door, and honestly, Geneva had no answers for WJ's offense.
WJ will come out and likely take a snap and a kneel down. Trey Holzman will take this snap.
Well, no matter how that CMU Grove City game.
Andrew Sharp takes a handoff, and Sharp going to pick up a first down out almost to the 45-yard line.
And that'll be it. This is a game that a lot of people have been looking for next week for a long time, year. You don't get very many chances of playing 2 huge games in one season like WJ's going to have next week, but that's the task at hand.
Mike Sirianni is between the numbers and the hash marks as the ball's marked ready for play with 27 seconds. The Presidents are not snapping the ball again. What a gathering of two longtime friends, and Gino DeMarco and Mike Sirianni standing, just the two of them, at the WNJ 36, just chatting away. And every important piece of football stuff I have goes falling to the floor. You'll have that, right?
Yeah, it happens.
WNJ with the little measure test early on, down 14-7 after three possessions combined, but red and black roll from there, score the next 42 points of the game, and put in the win column. 73-21 your final. Get you some final thoughts when we come back here on the WJPA Sports Network.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
This is Coach Guy Monicalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
WNJ holds Geneva to 240 yards total offense, 98 yards passing, and Geneva did not complete a pass after the first quarter.
Wow.
Now, to be fair, they only threw a couple, but by the time they made the decision they weren't going to throw anymore, WNJ had just taken over the ballgame.
Oh, yeah, ran them over.
WNJ rolls up 218 yards rushing, and 568 yards total offense. Running backs with 30-plus today. Ball carriers, rather, for WNJ with 30-plus. Owen Patricic, 33. Kobe DeRosa, 39. Troy Volpatti, 37. Dom Barca, 30. Jacob Pugh, 31. Five different backs with at least 30 rushing yards for the Presidents. And, of course, Jake Pugh on the afternoon, six touchdown passes in his among his 17 completions. 17 of 24, it looks like, 17 of 24 for 327 yards on the afternoon. WNJ with the win stays within reach of the leaders, and they'll be no worse than a game back of whoever wins the Grove City Carnegie Mellon game. WNJ to host Grove City here next Saturday night.
Well, that's going to be an interesting game. It's clearly, Grove City's a really good football team. CMU's a really good football team. I think WJ's a really good football team. And I think Case Western probably is too. You, as I said earlier, you don't get too many opportunities to play any kind of games like CMU game 2 weeks ago. You get to do it again next week. The focus is going to be, again, can WJ win a big game? Because they haven't been able to.
They have not. And one of the pieces, and I'll talk about this now, I'll talk about it with you next week. when we had Pat Agner here at halftime of the CMU game, he talked about that's one of the things that he said to Jake Pugh. You know, games like today, those are fun and all that. Those are numbers, and it, you know, it's all, you know, you just get about it. But sometimes you got to win a big game, and you got to do it. And that's where this group of WNJ presidents is. They have to win a big game.
Well, it's in their minds. They talked about it in July. They've thought about this since they lost in week 5 last year. So it bothers them. These guys are really good players, but they haven't won anything. And they want to win. And so next week's their opportunity. It's down to that. If they win next week, there's going to be another time they have to win later this year. But if they don't win next week, they're not winning any championships.
Yeah, well, and they're not winning any big games. There aren't big games left for them.
No, there won't be any more big games.
There'll be big games on the PAC schedule, but
right.
They won't be big for them.
No.
It'll just be as a spoiler. So
yes.
Have to win next week. You have another opportunity. You got another opportunity to win a big game, and now they're going to have to do it. And they get to do it here. So they're going to get that shot against Grove City here next Saturday night, a game we'll have here on the WJPA Sports Network. Jacob Knisner, our producer in our downtown Washington studios. Our thanks to our sponsors making today's broadcast possible, Washington Financial Bank, for 125 years, proud to be the bank that gets you. By Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation and Advanced Surgical Hospital. And by attorney John Patricic. Nearly 30 years of experience gives your case the attention it deserves. WJ rolls up 560-plus yards in total offense and throttles the Geneva Golden Tornadoes. From a partner, John Sacco, and all of us at WJPA Sports Network, I'm Bob Gregg. Your final score, WJ 73, Geneva 30. This has been a presentation of the WJPA Sports Network.